It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Pycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Mother's shoes dropped hard, didn't they? Oh my goodness gracious. Howdy, howdy, howdy. It is the first day of July 2021. And here we are. Oh, let's see. 2021 plus 4 is 25. 2065 years later, and we're still marking the beginning of a month that was renamed after the assassination of Julius Caesar. Isn't that just amazing? It would also have been my parents' 60th wedding anniversary. Yeah, really would have been. July the 1st of 1961 was a lot nicer day than July the 1st of 2021. That day was beautiful. This day has been a sodden and sloppy mess, and frankly, it's a mite too chilly here in the fabulous Horn Studios at the magnificent Kincaid Mansion for naked radio, even. So, even though it's summer, there's clothing involved. We are broadcasting on both the headon.live stream and the White Rose Society stream. We have, me and that mouse in my pocket, a little bit late getting to air simply because it was, I was having a hard time grabbing the streams. Yep. Fun with internet, right? God, it was also much simpler when it was just a great big transmitter with great big vacuum tubes and a great big tower. Wasn't it just? No. Hi, I'm Robin. Did I do that part yet? Good. Well, at least that's out of the way now. And it is Thorn in the Side Thursday here at the Horn. And this is... yeah, it's plenty thorny. Yeah. Are the Supremes done now? At least, well, my sense that the Supreme Court was saving the big fucking for the absolute get out of town. But I'm wondering now, are they really, really done? Or do they have one more shoe to drop tomorrow? I don't know. I've been reading all day long, and why couldn't they? Because, you know, never mind. No, this has nothing to do with the proper administration of the courts or justice or any of that silliness. This has everything in the world to do with manipulating media and manipulating public opinion and then running away and hiding. Yeah. But anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself because every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude. And this program is no different. Thank you again for the fact that we managed to that we managed to finish June to the good. I paid my insurance premium last night, just as I had described, because y'all made that possible, and thank you so very much. What a weight you take off of me in helping to make sure I'm able to do that. Thanks go out to our first day of the month subscribers. Thank you to Mark, and thank you to Joseph. Thank you to John. Thank you to Tom in sunny San Rafael. Thank you all. And thank you so much to Chris in Germany. and thank you to Ralph's in Wisconsin, and thank you to thank you so much to Shorty in L.A. coming together to create the thing we do at the beginning of every month, and that is Bruce's Memorial Challenge. Every program at the Horn begins, with gratitude, as noted, and every first program of the month begins with Bruce's Memorial Challenge, so we can get up and running and get a jump on the brand new month ASAP. And again, that's huge. So there's $300 sitting on the table waiting to be matched. And if we can raise $300 this evening, and I know what a sprint it was to get to the end of June, but if we can raise $300 this evening, it will be doubled, and we'll have a fighting chance for, like, you know, things that happen along the way where I have to miss a program or so. I try not to, but when I do, then the doubling factor that takes place on Bruce's Memorial Challenge keeps that from being quite so horrifying. Okay. So here we are, July, and the Supreme Court is wrapping up. And we have, of course, Joey's Journal. Subject line, Dark Shadows. Jeffrey gets thorn in the side Thursday, off to a start. Well, what do you know? Weisselberg is indicted. Yes, Weisselberg got popped. All sources predict that Weisselberg will transform into a Weaselberg and flip on the Trump Organization. Yes, I, Jeffrey the Giraffe, predict that Weisselberg, like the weasel, will pop off and turn on the Trump crime family. So Jeffrey would like to perform some food porn sung to Pop Goes the Weasel. I'm not singing. Half a pound of twopenny rice, half a pound of treason, treacle molasses, only Deutsche Bank knows where all the Trump money goes. Pop will go Alan the Weasel. I really made a hash of that. But I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure that's going to happen. Weisselberg's daughter has said that Trump has a ton of dirt on Alan Weisselberg, and that may keep him from rolling. And, of course, Weisselberg had a chance to roll, and he stayed, he managed to honor Omerta. So maybe Giraffrey is a little more sanguine about this than I am. Thank you as well, by the way, to Rusty jumping in, because that means that we now have less than $300 to raise for Bruce's Memorial Challenge. Well, notes Joey, apparently the Supreme Court is operating with the QAnon nonsense calendar, because instead of going home for the summer break, they honored the June 31st Q calendar and came down with two terrible rulings today, both in Arizona and California. In Arizona, they'll allow the state to utilize furtive fraudulent tactics to disconnect voters from their right to vote. In California, dark money will be alive and well with the ruling by the nine Solons in their black robes. Well, six of them, actually. And Jeffrey has some dark thoughts of his own. As you're all very aware, I love objects that stand tall or are high, but today the Supreme Court neither stood tall or pursued the high road in their low-down rulings. This is a dark day in the history of this country, because there is no doubt where the rest of these rulings are headed following the obvious detrimental vote of this Supreme Court, which clearly is siding against democracy and the fundamental rights of minorities to exercise their vote. I'm reminded of the show Dark Shadows. I remember that. A gothic soap opera in the late 1960s and 70s. The show depicted the lives, loves, trials, and tribulations of the wealthy and psychotic Collins family of Collinsport, Maine. Yes, I said Collins and Maine in the same sentence, and yes, Susan Collins was believed to be a part of the Collins family in that Maine-based television show. As far as I'm concerned, Susan Collins is a very dark figure that allowed the likes of Brett Kavanaugh to be placed on the Supreme Court. The show centered around whether or not Barnabas Collins was a vampire, as people were often bitten in the neck. Well, Susan Collins was obviously bitten by Barnabas, as she enabled Brett I Like Beer Cavanpire. That's good. Wait a minute. To become a part of this court that today is in the process of taking a big bite out of voter rights, not only in Collinsport, Maine, but all over the Maine part of this land. Yeah, Jeffrey had to reach for that one. Ironically, on this day in 1991, George H.W. Bush offered up Clarence Thomas to be considered for the Supreme Court. And when I suggest Clarence Thomas is a dark figure, I'm not referring to his ethnicity. Is there any chance of nullifying Clarence? In other words, could this country return back to a wait for it? Yes, back to the days of pre-Clarence. That's clever. Pre-Clarence, pre-clearance, you know, Voting Rights Act. The recently deceased Voting Rights Act. Yeah. I would like nothing more than to have a pre-clearance clearance court. I don't know, Robin, but I think this vampire blood-sucking court's going to suck the lifeblood out of democracy. I understand that. And by the way, Earther says, Pop goes the Wesselberg. Darn Giraffe beat me to it. You got to be quick. You got to get up early to get out in front of the of that kind of giraffe. It was 1956 and President Eisenhower called for a $50 billion plan to be spent over 13 years for the construction of over 42,000 miles of interstate highways. In today money, that would be somewhere around $500 billion. Just on highways. And it was a wise investment because it's brought in more than $6 in economic productivity for every dollar it cost. Joey says, last Sunday, I noticed Jeffrey was snorting at the television when Jake... You ever heard of a giraffe snort? When Jake Tapper was interviewing Mitt Romney, Romney insisted that we cannot raise taxes with this infrastructure plan. Just then, Jeffrey snorted and hissed at the television and yelled out, Jake, ask Romney how the plan's going to be paid for. Then I yelled, yeah, Jake, pin Romney down on how the plan's going to be paid for. Of course, the cowardly Tapper, absolutely addicted as he is to access, that is the most addictive drug of the multimillionaires of the for-profit media, never asked the most important question and never pinned Romney down. So all Jeffrey and I have to say is this. Back in 1956, the middle class and the poor paid for the construction of the highways through a gas tax. Hey, Romney, this time it's your turn, buddy. Time for the wealthy to pay for the bill this time. And with one for the road, Giraffe, stop sticking the bill on the working man. It's way past time for the wealthiest Americans to pay their fair share and contribute to the infrastructure of this country. If $500 billion will give this country 6-to-1 return on investment, then the rich elite should be all about investing in that deal. And this has been Joey's Journal for the 31st day of June. Quit that. Thorn in the Side Thursday, the actual first day of July, with Giraffe trying to lighten up during these dark days. And so there's a $10 Dark Days Challenge, courtesy of Joey and Giraffe. And that'll get us down to $270 if it's met on Bruce's Memorial Challenge. Steve in New York says, I pulled a Robin on the Friday on the front porch last week when I said that Weisselberg would not flip. By the way, Darlene pulled a Robin when she said that the Volksgerichtshof, the high court in Nazi Germany, and my new name for our high court, would shit out bad decisions after having left town. Yeah, there was no reading from the bench today, was there? Didn't miss that if there was. So, I mean, I don't mean to be a one-trick pony, but is the entirely ignorant, revolting women's reproductive rights case, is that going to be announced in the October term now? So we'll have to wait until, like, you know, damn near Christmas to get that one? I don't know. The court will release, according to Lee in New York, an order list at 9:30 a.m. tomorrow, July the 2nd. And that is sort of an administrative kind of thing. Yeah, I see that. Order list issuance days. And they were in conference today as well, because today was marked as a conference opinion issuance day. So tomorrow will be all about what they will and won't hear and this stuff being just sent back down or remanded, reversed, whatever, we might, that's when we might get the final shoe to drop. This is, there's been so damn many shoes dropping. It's like the Supreme Court. Well, the Supreme Court, an octopus only has 8 legs, and this one has 9 tentacles, and 3 of them are effectively paralyzed. Yeah. But back to the Supreme Court's decisions today. Arizona and California. In California, people are not allowed to know who's giving dark money to so-called tax-exempt organizations. In Arizona, well, it was a sort of tacit endorsement of the big lie. And it's deeply disturbing. But the bottom line, in both cases, is that the For the People Act is now more important than it has ever been, because they took six judicial vandals, took the Voting Rights Act out, and where they had mortally wounded a few years ago, what was that, McCutcheon? They went ahead and finished the job today. Yeah. Thank you, Cecilia. Thank you so very kindly. That means Joey and Giraffe's Dark Shadows Challenge is met. And we are now down to $270 to go to meet Bruce's Memorial Challenge. Meanwhile, a note coming in from Kyle. So let me clear this up, because I'm a bit confused. Republicans had nothing to do with January 6th, but don't support a committee to get to the truth of what happened. And the former guy didn't have anything to do with whipping up people to go attack the Capitol, but is trying to get the officer who killed a rioter in self-defense named to target him for killing one of his peaceful patriots. Do I have this right? Because he can't tweet or Instagram or Facebook or anything else now, he has to put out these stupid press releases, and I'm on the stupid press release list. Who killed Ashley, whatever her fucking name was. As to the other shoe dropping, Kyle in Kentucky Stan says, oh, you know they're going to give all the women folk a nice fuck you as an early Christmas holiday gift, so that's nice. Oh, God. How do these judicial punks, how do they think that's going to make life in America any better? It's not. It's not going to make things any better at all. But as I pointed out, it makes H1, S1 all the more important and all the more egregious. All the more egregious Joe Manchin's refusal to put democracy and the well-being of this country ahead of his fetish for the filibuster. Steve from Georgia Stan had a note. I meant to get to it last night, and then I went looking for it, and it wasn't there anymore. It happens sometimes. There's a bunch of email rolls in. But Steve says, considering the SCOTUS decision today, if H.R. 1, SB1 does not get passed and these right-wing goons take the House in 2022, game over, folks. Get ready for nothing but Hunter Biden hearings along with endless Joe Biden impeachment hearings. Nothing will get passed because nothing worthwhile will be proposed. Yeah. Well, you know what? Maybe they can. Maybe the House under Republican control would go ahead and impeach Joe Biden.
You know, because they impeached our God Emperor.
I mean, that's how petty and shitty they are. And then maybe Mitch McConnell would look at the Constitution and say, "Well, it says here a 2/3 vote majority vote to convict on impeachment, but you know, it's an off year, midterm election year."
and the people of the United States have spoken, so we're going to get rid of, just pretend that two-thirds majority, but we're going to go ahead and remove Joe Biden from office and give back your God Emperor.
I know it sounds impossible, doesn't it? But so did the notion several years ago that the Senate would just completely turn its nose up and not even give a hearing to a perfectly qualified Supreme Court nominee. But that happened, didn't it? Mm-hmm. A few years back, it was unthinkable that they would get rid of the filibuster in order to put theocratic ideologues on the court. But that happened, didn't it? Ashley Babbitt, thank you. Thank you. Lee in New York says, according to Republicans, a beloved veteran executed while on a Capitol tour. A Capitol 3-hour tour. No singing. We got $270 to go. Yeah. Yeah, Kyle pointing out, nice, free, and fair elections we're going to have now, and Manchin and Sinema still won't support the For the People Act. Forget the Christian fascists. What the fuck will it take? And as to Mitch McConnell just declaring the two-thirds majority null and void, the two-thirds vote to convict null and void. Yeah, I know. I was thinking about this. Kyle, I was thinking the very same damn thing. Don't give them any ideas, Robin. Jesus, I regret the error. I do. Ron in Raleigh says, you remember when old Ike proposed the interstate highway system, he pushed it as a defense bill. The highways would be used to move military equipment rapidly from point to point. Yeah, Military Defense Highway Act, wasn't it? Yeah. And that's how it got through. Because, well, hey, but as has been suggested on this program earlier, in previous incarnations, previous episodes, I should say, maybe we need to call all the infrastructure defense spending. And then we could fix it all. Yeah, those nine wise souls, Matt in San Francisco points out, yeah, they also installed George W. Bush. Let's not forget that little jewel of a decision. Oh, and wasn't it just? Hey, thank you to Steve and Ms. Karen and little Cletus. Thank you so much. Little Cletus just brought in a bone, and so now we're down to 255. 255. Thank you. Thank you, Steve, Karen, little Cletus. So much. So tell me if this is possible, Megan asks. Republicans gain control of House and Senate. Impeach Biden, get Harris for something. Kevin McCarthy, Speaker of the House, gets the presidency. Guess who he chooses to be VP? That's right. They didn't step down so COVID Caligula can go back up there on the podium. Possible or just my paranoia? Possible! It could happen! And don't think they're not talking about it. They talk about everything. Everything. As to the tax exempts and nonprofits in the dark money case out of California, the people, the citizens of California, Steve in New York notes, who subsidize these companies don't get to see who's paying into them to avoid taxes. It's time to abolish all charities and nonprofits. Nobody's tax exempt. There's no such thing as a 501c3 or C4. Get rid of the mortgage deduction. Get rid of all deductions and reduce tax rates so that everything is transparent. If charity, I'm one of those that transparent, never mind. If charities don't want to let the people see who we're paying for, then they don't get us to pay for them. I understand some of that. Get rid of all deductions? You mean cost of doing business? You mean like advertising costs? Legal fees? Oh, the CPA union and the lawyer union will never let that happen. Stop it, Robin. Lee in New York says, Moscow Mitch will not reinstall Trump. Hiding in his shell for 4 years was enough. He hates Trump. He just can't say it near the maggot ears. For DeSantis, possibly.
Or how about Senator Josh Hawley of Missouri? Yeah. It was, let me check here. Lamar the Magnificent has assigned himself to the penalty box. He said, I hope to be out in the third period. Well, that's you. That's you make your decision and then you make your call. Kyle says constitutional scholars, all of them, forget the fact that they completely ignored the Constitution to install Bush. At this point, you have an illegitimate court that has been illegitimate for, what, 20 and a half years now, having decided what is constitutional or not? And how's that even work? Well, nobody oversees them. None of them are ever going to be impeached. So they are a law, and they are literally a law unto themselves. There's no oversight. There's no ethical boundaries. It's entirely up to them. And we are at their mercy. Yeah. It's not comforting. Not at all. So there, certain things dovetail today. Like Kyle mentioning the January 6th Commission, which dovetails with Kevin McCarthy, who originally threw a little hissy fit and said, anybody who accepts an invitation from Nancy Pelosi, I'll take them off their committee assignments immediately. Matt Gaetz, on the other hand, under investigation for having sex with minors, in exchange for money, he's still got his committee assignments. Paul Gosar, who is so obnoxious his own family campaigns against him, he addressed a white nationalist rally not long back. He's still got committee assignments. Lauren Bobblehead Boebert, Clanny Oakley, she's still on committees. Yeah. But, see, that kerfuffle was occasioned by the fact that, oh, my God, she's smarter than me. She knows what she's doing better than we do. For the Select Committee in the House, Nancy Pelosi had 8 seats to fill. Well, she filled one of them by inviting Dick in a Wig to sit on the committee. Mm-hmm. Liz Cheney. And Liz Cheney said, well, I will proudly serve, and I thank the Speaker. That's the closest that she's ever gotten to behaving like an actual human being. And I still don't trust her, because there's no reason to trust her. And then all of a sudden, the man of the gelatinous spine, Kevers McCarthy, said, "Well, I mean, it's okay. I mean, she can sit on the committee or something," because he realized he's got 5 seats to fill. And my good, and now he doesn't have to fill it with somebody who actually has pretended to give a fuck about what happened on January the 6th. So that means, well, Jim Shorts Jordan. Would you say he's on? Paul Gosar? How about him? Now, Marjorie Traitor Gangrene Cueball was stripped of her committee assignments. Can she be put on there? It's a Select Committee. Barring that, how about Lauren Bobblehead Boebert? Clanny Oakley? I already said Jim Shorts Jordan. Matt Gaetz! Yeah, there might be some decisions to be made by Kevers, because you might want to have you might want to have Mo Brooks, Les Brames on there, or that noted legal scholar Louis Asparagus Gohmert. there just aren't enough seats for the entire maggot crazy caucus. Don't forget, don't think for a minute that that ain't going to happen. There will be no reasonable voices on the Republican side of this select committee because its job is to try to make sure nothing gets done. And to rail against subpoenas and bark and hoot and grunt about Hunter Biden, the Benghazi overtime. Yeah, that. Thank you, Scott. One of these days I'm going to. Yeah. As Earther says, quick, Nancy, invite every single GOP representative to the select committee and give them all collectively one vote in the committee. That would be enough to tie the committee's hands. Wait a minute. Stop. Oh, my God, says Scary Jerry. Lamar the Magnificent is another hockey-loving person of color. Your pod has two of them. Go Caps, riding with the Bolts. What the hell is that? Two of them. And Kyle says, say what you want about Speaker Pelosi or Cheney. We know what we all think of Dick in a wig. Ha-ha. But I think the speaker made a master tactical move here. I'm going to trust her on this one, especially since McCarthy's throwing a fit. Well, I'm there, too. She knows what she's doing. It's not for me to second guess that. I am far too lacking in sparkle fart propulsion or ideological purity. I just want to get shit done. So, yeah, we'll leave it up to her. According to Keith Olbermann, Ralphs tells me, Nancy Pelosi can reject anyone that Kevin McCarthy nominates. Well, that should be fun. I hope Olbermann's right. President 2024, Ron in Raleigh says, want some fan tods? President Matt Gaetz and Vice President Marjorie Taylor Greene. That seems a bridge too far, Ron. I was thinking more about what's going to happen when and if, and because when this was originally put forward to me, I said, no, come on. But Joe Manchin is going to have name recognition just short of that of Joe Biden, and his name's Joe, too. That could create some ballot confusion during the Democratic primary. What if Joe Manchin, in a fit of bipartisanship, maybe he reaches out and gets him a Republican woman to run as his running mate and announces early on that it'll be Nimrata Haley or maybe Marsha Gedneth Blackburn, and runs an insurgent primary campaign against Joe Biden or Kamala Harris. You know, whoever the goddamn neoliberal establishment shill is, even though there's no bigger goddamn neoliberal establishment shill than, you know, Joe Manchin. Yeah, everybody got the fan tods now? Good, 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 good. Yeah, thank you, Sparky. Pelosi has veto power over anybody McCarthy appoints. I wonder if she would, Jim Shorts Jordan? I mean, he sits on the Judiciary Committee. He's got a law degree, right? By the way, good group in the Horn chat room this evening. Pop by if you'd like to enhance your live listening experience. You'll be immediately greeted by 68 AMC 343, Anatole, Otto DeShot, Ralphs, Roger in Oregon, Stockton Larry, Squeaky, and capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who still is displaying the good sense necessary not to fold space and into the heart of the sun and become man cave. And capably assisted, of course, by a pinch-hit midweek chat room utility moderator and all-around great guy, Brother Bishop Steve from Georgistan. What's not to like? Ron in Raleigh asks, a bunch of white guys on skates beating the crap out of one another. Go Canes!
Really? We're going to... That's where we're going this evening? Cool. Hey, why would Joe run for president? Steve in New York asks. He gets to wield the power of the presidency without having to run for the office. Oh, yeah, but it's an aphrodisiac. Power is. The presidency is just tremendous power, tremendous cosmic power. Mm-hmm. And he's, you know, won't be any older than Biden was when he got elected. Of course, you know what happens when, because like say there's 1970, there's 1980, and we can look at what happened when Edward M. Kennedy primaried Jimmy Carter. Or we can look at, you know, the it was just completely coincidental that Bill Bradley primaried Al Gore when he was running for his own term in the White House. In other words, nothing good. Mm-hmm. Gates, Green, 2024 ticket. Impossible, says Lee in New York. Gates isn't interested in Green because of her age. That is, she's not prepubescent or barely pubescent or adolescent. Yeah, thank you. Curious to see what Nancy Pelosi would do with that veto power. Flavio, practicing the art of word knowing. Words to describe Kevin McCarthy. Slimy, oleaginous, lubricious, weaselly, chicken shit. Man, oleaginous just makes you want to shower, doesn't it? Yeah. Good words all, Fabio. Good words all. And speaking of you know, dark money and bought off. Members of Congress and the government generally. Oopsie! There's some more secret audio that has become not so... Oh, wait. Kyle says, Gates isn't interested in Green because of her age, and now I have water all over my shirt. Well, at least it was only water. I'd hate to see you waste something valuable like, you know, good liquor. Or bad liquor, for that matter. Steve in New York, on the other hand, says, I'd love to see Marjorie Trader Gangrene Cue Ball on the 1-6 committee. The ads would write themselves. Yeah, but they would be ads for her reelection in that maggot district in Georgia. No, an outfit called Unearthed, that's the investigative journalism arm of Greenpeace UK, working in conjunction with British Channel 4 News, got hold of some footage of an ExxonMobil lobbyist talking about the people he buys on behalf of course, ExxonMobil. In these videos, reporters for Unearthed posed as recruitment consultants, and they got recordings of Keith McCoy, who is the senior director in the lobby shop for ExxonMobil in D.C., and Dan Easley, a senior director for Federal Relations. Up until he left ExxonMobil earlier. He's, wait, talk about greenwashing. He left ExxonMobil to go to a clean technologies firm. I think we can see how that happened. So what Unearthed found is, according to Lindsay Myman, 350.org's U.S. communications manager, In the midst of a deadly heat wave, the Exxon tapes show how Exxon's climate lies have spanned from outright denial to puppeteering our government and economy. Exxon knew and lied about the climate crisis for decades, and our communities are bearing the costs. As the window for action quickly closes, this footage proves what we've known all along. Exxon continues to deliberately block necessary climate action to skirt accountability. We demand Congress immediately investigate Exxon and fossil fuel companies' climate crimes and make polluters pay for their destruction. Yes, I'm glad you're demanding that. But here's the fun part. It was this past May that the aforementioned Mr. McCoy, Keith McCoy, who runs the lobby shop for ExxonMobil in D.C., and noted, I talk to Joe Manchin's office every week in order to make sure that the infrastructure package gets scaled back and there's none of that nasty climate change green stuff in there. Yeah. And, of course, he's talking to Joe Manchin's office every week, not just because Joe Manchin is Queen of the May, but because, thanks to a couple of other senators who poo-pooed the idea of leading House Senate Natural Resources and instead wanted bigger and better things, and thereby left Senate Natural Resources to the tender mercies of Joe Manchin, well, Joe Manchin is the chair of Senate Natural Resources. And so that means that when he says, as I noted earlier in the week, when he's talking to Hoppy, the grown adult who still refers to himself as Hoppy, when he says to him, well, we've got to use our technology to make sure we can still keep burning fossil fuels. That's what we got to do. We got to keep blowing up the mountains. We got to have coal. Yeah, really. So McCoy said, did we aggressively fight against some of the science? Yes. Did we hide our science? Absolutely not. Did we join some of these shadow groups to work against some of the early efforts? Yes, that's true. But there's nothing illegal about that. You know, we were looking out for our investments. We were looking out for our shareholders, who, incidentally, cannot live on a burning planet. There ain't no planet B. As my dear friend John Fox noted so long ago, no planet, no economy, dumbasses. And so lobbyist McCoy says, we're playing defense because President Biden's talking about this big infrastructure package, and he's going to pay for it by increasing corporate taxes. So it's a delicate balance. We're asking for help with taxes over here. They want tax subsidies for a carbon capture boondoggle. And we're saying, don't increase our taxes over here. And if ExxonMobil happens to come out and say that they might possibly kind of maybe sort of support a carbon tax, well, it's just an effective advocacy tool. These are some cynical pricks, you know that? Nobody's going to propose a tax on all Americans, and the cynical side of me says, yeah, we kind of know that, but it gives us a talking point that we can say, well, what is ExxonMobil for? Well, we're for a carbon tax, even though it's never going to happen. And then there's the other cat, Easley. He was the chief lobbyist to the White House back during the maladministration of Foolius Geezer. When the undercover reporter asked Easley if ExxonMobil had gotten any big policy wins under Trump, he laughed. Said, you should Google ExxonMobil announcement and Donald Trump. So he live Facebooked from the West Wing, our big drill in the Gulf project. He mentioned us in two states of the union. We were able to get investor state dispute settlement protection in NAFTA. We were able to rationalize the permit environment and, you know, get a ton of permits out. There were so many wins it would be difficult to categorize them all, he bragged. I mean, tax has to be the biggest one, right? The reduction of corporate rate was, you know, it was probably worth billions to Exxon. So, yeah, there were a lot of wins. Mm-hmm. When somebody tells you who they are, believe them the first time. Oh, yeah. So this created a bit of a PR bombshell for
that, you know, blew up right in the face of the chairman and chief executive officer of ExxonMobil. God, I'm so old I can remember when the former CEO of ExxonMobil got fired by a guy who sold meat through the mail. Well, the new chairman and chief executive officer, or newest, is Darren Woods. Really? Durwood? We're back to Bewitched? Well, comments made by the individuals in no way represent the company's position on a variety of issues, including climate policy and our firm commitment that carbon pricing is important to addressing climate change. Dude, stop. First law of holes, pal. When you're in one, stop digging. They already told us you're fucking lying. Well, the individuals interviewed were never involved in developing the company's policy positions on the issues discussed. No, they weren't involved in developing them. They just implemented them by working inside the White House and the Congress and calling Joe Manchin every week. We condemn the statements and are deeply apologetic for them. You know, by the way, this is just an art of word-knowing moment. Flavio, check me on this. But I think there is a definitional difference between being apologetic and actually apologizing and expressing regret and remorse. We're deeply apologetic for the statements. That means they are of a sorry frame of mind. But it is not the same thing as saying we deeply apologize for that. Because the thing is, they did these things. Those guys weren't lying. They were just being stupid. We're deeply apologetic for them, including comments regarding interactions with elected officials. Joe Manchin, I mean, we love Joe a lot. They're entirely inconsistent with the way we expect our people to conduct themselves. They expect. Well, as is so often the case, expectations often do not meet realities. We were shocked. Shocked, I tell you, shocked. Okay, there was only one shocked in the statement, but everybody who's familiar with Casablanca immediately has a mental image of Captain Renault standing in Rick's Café Américain receiving his winnings. Shocked, shocked to find out there's gambling going on here. Your winnings, sir? Oh, thank you. Your tax breaks, sir? Oh, thank you. We're shocked by these interviews and stand by our commitments to working on finding solutions to climate change that keep us filthy fucking rich, and who gives a good goddamn if the Northwest Territories of Canada catch fire spontaneously because it's over 100 goddamn degrees. Mm-hmm. And all of this comes with the backdrop of, you know, the fact that companies like ExxonMobil are getting the bejesus sued out of them. So, you know, busted. Just plain stone cold busted. But now, having been caught, Keith McCoy is a little embarrassed. There may be a statement out there that says he's deeply apologetic, but what he is embarrassed and doesn't get caught. God damn it. Because he went on, McCoy did, to say that what he does in his lobby shop is to be like the guy at the store near the lake who provides the bait before they reel in the elected official. Mm-hmm. When you have an opportunity to talk to a member of Congress, I liken it to fishing, right? You know you have bait, but you throw that bait out, and they say, Oh, you want to talk about infrastructure? Yeah. And then you start to reel them in, and you start to have these conversations about federal leasing programs. You start to have these conversations about a carbon tax. You know, it's all these opportunities that you use, and to use the fishing analogy again, just to kind of reel them in. You got to play them a little bit, you know, let out the line a little bit, reel it back in, let it out a little bit, let them feel like they're free, then remind them of the hook in their jaw and reel them in. I make sure I get them the right information. That means the acceptable to corporate information at ExxonMobil that they need so they look good. And then they help me out. Then this. They're a captive audience. They know they need you. And I need them. Mm-hmm. You want to be able to go to the chief and say, we need Congressman so-and-so to be able to either introduce this bill, we need him to make a floor statement, we need him to send a letter, you name it, we've asked for everything. And I got 11 U.S. senators who are crucial to what we do. Senator Shelley Moore Capito of West Virginia, Senator Joe Manchin of West Virginia, Senator Kyrsten Sinema of Arizona, Senator John Teaster of Montana, Senator Maggie Hassan of New Hampshire, Senator John Barrasso of Wyoming, Senator John Cornholio of Texas, Senator Steve Daines of South Dakota, Senator Chris Coons of Delaware, Senator Mark Kelly of Arizona, and Senator Marco Rubio of Florida. But he prefers working behind the scenes. We don't want it to be us to have these conversations, especially in a hearing. It's getting our associations to step in and have those conversations and answer those tough questions and be, for the lack of a better term, the whipping boy for some of these members of Congress. You know, so that it can all be, oh, theatricalized. Yeah, that. Right. So here we are coming up on the end of the first hour of this Thorn in the Side Thursday. I told you it was going to be thorny, didn't I? Mm-hmm. And an anonymous friend has taken down the amount for Bruce's Memorial Challenge to $155. So we're almost halfway done with Bruce's Memorial Challenge, and here we are, almost done with the first hour of the program. We got a fighting chance if others jump in on this. So thank you very kindly indeed. Yeah, I mean, this guy wouldn't shut up, this McCoy. And I don't know how the undercover journalists managed to keep from, you know, snickering. You believe what this motherfucker's saying? I mean, this isn't like one of those, you know, cheap, tawdry, ginned up, dummied up, faked up, rubed up efforts by Project Veritas. They didn't take this out of context. This is all context. There was something we were working on, McCoy said, earlier this week where our CEO was invited to a hearing from a member of Congress and who we knew was just going to rip him to shreds when he goes there. So we look at it and say, well, why us? And then he found out he'd been stone cold busted. And, well, my statements clearly do not represent ExxonMobil's positions on important public policy issues, except that they do, I added that part. While some of my comments were taken out of context, no, they weren't. There's no excuse for what I said or how I said it. I'm deeply embarrassed that I got caught. What an asshole. And it's all right there. There's 8 minutes worth of the audio. And it'll make you sick. It's all a Zoom call. It's all being recorded, sure.
That ExxonMobil has aggressively fought climate science using front organizations to maximize shareholder profit.
Did we aggressively fight against some of the science.
Yeah.
Yes. Did we join some of these shadow groups to work against some of the early efforts? Yes, that's true.
And Matt in San Francisco is going to hate this, but Keith McCoy here, the guy who's trying to help ExxonMobil make this planet uninhabitable for human beings, on this Zoom call, he was using as his background the Golden Gate Bridge. No, really. And this maybe makes it worse. Maybe I shouldn't even mention this, but I think it matters. Keith McCoy is a man of color. So, wow. Well, I tell you what, the moral arc of the universe sure is bending toward justice with Keith McCoy, isn't it? No, it's not. And it's bending toward shareholder profits. Mm-hmm. Oh, and by the way, we're now down to 150. And that means that we are getting we're $50 away. No, did I screw that up? No. Yeah, we're half done with Bruce's Memorial Challenge. And thanks to Jeremy for getting us to the exact halfway mark. Megan, with a note, said, Joe Manchin would run for president because it means he gets to be the pretty princess of the Oval Office instead of just the Senate. And he'll get all the curtsies he wants from Kyrsten Sinema. I could totally see him going for a Republican VP, too, with all his caterwauling about the sacred unicorn that is bipartisanship. Nimrata Haley would be the least of the candidates to worry about. What about South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem? She wasn't doing all that maggoty stuff for shits and giggles, people. Yeah, true, true. Kevin McCarthy, Matt in San Francisco, says, I've always thought of him as missing his calling to be a really bad insurance salesman. Yeah, or maybe a really bad Bible salesman. Both seem more than apropos. Okay, Steve in New York, Art of Word Knowing. Apologize versus apologetic. Apologize. Express regret for something that one has done wrong. Apologetic. Regretfully acknowledging or excusing an offense or a failure. Yep, they are different things, aren't they? Yep. Oh, and maybe this is a noteworthy day. Randy Radar says, today is supposedly the day when it is supposedly no longer possible due to new technology when robocallers can no longer spoof their numbers to your phone's caller ID. Well, maybe it hasn't been implemented because that happened several times today. Got phone calls from bullshit places in West Virginia. Hi, we wanted to talk to you about your car's warranty. So that's, Jeremy in Vermont. This Keith McCoy clearly isn't a starship coding or a medical doctor, for God's sake, Jim. No. Always love a good Star Trek reference. Silent R. Lamar says, but okay, you win. For people who know American government, the power is in the Senate or the House. Nancy should let Mr. McBullshit choose his members and then remove any one of them who could bring a good argument to the table, leaving a group of batshit crazy at the table. How best to burn down an area than to let the area burn itself? Oh, shit. What? More time in the box, please. Easy there, Lamar. And thank you very kindly, Mark. Mark just jumped in. We are now down to 125 on Bruce's Memorial Challenge. Thank you so much, Mark. We may get July off to a good and solid start. We're $125 from doing that. Thank you. All right. It is the top of the hour. A little past.
Let's run over to the stress line and see who's on there. Hey, welcome to the program.
Well, hello there, stranger.
What's up?
Or am I the stranger?
No, I don't think you're the stranger. You know,
like I said, go ahead.
No, please.
Like I said, I got a meeting at 4 o'clock with the fire department, like I stated earlier, and I'm gonna make just the shortest Lamar comment on the books.
Okay.
I would like for you to stop apologizing for black people who are doing things wrong. We understand as a group and as a people, there are people among us who are the same shade as us who want to get ahead. We call them Uncle Toms or Sambos.
I can't do that.
I'm trying to give you that permission from me, and maybe the rest of the blacks in your community will give you the same love, which will empower you to skip some of the bullshit of the apologeticness.
I honest to God didn't know if it was appropriate to point out dude was a black guy.
Well, even if he didn't know or whatever, you can specify it, but don't take it as you must apologize or feel sad. No, hold your ground, be strong. We're all behind you. We know we got defectors in our group. This is why we are at where we at now. Clarence Thomas, perfect example.
There you go.
So we know we got infiltration in our groups. We are working to try to minimize these clowns so where they cannot be effective. So, you know, I mean, the only reason I called in is because it came over to me. I don't know about the rest, but me. You were apologizing that this was a black guy who was bringing down black society. No. We know they're out there. We truly know they're out there. You don't have to just specify that he's black and move on with the point of he's wrong. And you'll be best off.
Okay. Let me ask this then, Lamar.
Okay.
So, I mean, this is some pretty horrible shit he uttered. Do you agree?
Oh, yes. But see, the point what I'm looking at is
maybe he needs to be schooled a little bit, say by somebody like Michael Harriott over at the Root. Or some of the black opinion leaders in this country call him out, because the one thing that just kind of hangs in my craw is, you know, the people who make the kind of money he makes seldom pay the price of climate change. Okay.
That's true.
It is communities of color. It is low wealth communities that almost exclusively pay these costs.
I agree. But see, we as a group of colored Americans, African Americans who are not considered human by the particular group of people, we handle our own. So he's out there promoting the this particular view. We, the people of color, when I say the people of color, I mean people who are not white.
Right.
We will check his ass at any function that he comes up to because we realize he is a detriment to us. And guess what? It won't be covered. Like Gil Scott-Heron said, the revolution will not be televised. And it won't be televised. Just like Herman Cain was disassociated, died at a Trump rally, pushing the bullshit of Donald Trump. Look at Ben Carson, alienated, not part of the subject, not part of the group. You got your money, go on. Thomas, the primary bullshit attitude, like Larry Elder, who burned the bridges after they got through the damn door, kicked the bridge down and put gasoline on it while it burnt and fell into the ground to make sure nobody could rebuild the shit.
Clarence Thomas is stomping on the hands on the rungs of the ladder below him.
Yes, all that. We see this. And we eventually, you know, it's not that. So here's the situation. Speaking from my point of view, just me, I'm speaking for me. People like that, we have come to the conclusion that we will not support them. They are not part of our race. Oh, yeah, they're black, but they're not black. They made it. They got into a lifestyle that they're scared to lose. And the problem is this. They don't understand that if they were to stand the fuck up, people of color would stand behind them. But if you're scared of, if you're scared, that's the key word, scared. If you're scared, you make stupid decisions.
You know what I'd love to know, Lauren? You know what I'd love to know? I'd love to know if this Keith McCoy dude, his lobby shop in Washington, I wonder if they put out a statement. ExxonMobil is proud to celebrate the first ever federally recognized Juneteenth. You reckon maybe, you know?
I reckon that he's going the path of Alan West. One time in the front of everybody else, and all of a sudden fucking disappear. He's now in Texas, and he's going to disappear again. Black people and people of color, we know how hard our fight is. Our fight is always uphill. That's why I get a kick out of, damn, I had to kill a bear with a loose-leaf notebook, and I had to go to school uphill in the snow, and I had to go home uphill in the snow.
Yeah, uphill.
There's a reason behind
both ways.
Yes, that is profound. No matter where a black person of color has to do, he has to go uphill. He has to go uphill to go home. He has to go uphill to go to school. And people don't realize, okay, you went uphill to get to school, but as you went up to school and while you're at school, school done slid down past your house. Now you got to go back uphill again to get home. It's a goddamn escalator that you can't get off of. And like I said earlier, if you really want power, you don't want to be the president because the president has an 8-year maximum time limit. Congress has as long as you can get your ass reelected. That's where the damn power is. And if you don't know U.S. government, you will never succeed. I'm not interested who the hell the president is. We have a government which has the ultimate puppet dictator. We're the only country that has a president that you can remove by the people's voice. Name me another country who can get rid of their president. You can't say Russia. Putin done claimed all that shit down. And oh, another thing that drives me batshit crazy. If you don't know what isms are, and isms are a form of government, shut your ass up and sit on the side and learn something. If you're going to talk about socialism, don't point to Cuba or China, because they're both communist socialism. Big fucking difference. Socialism, bottom line, layman's term, everybody participates and everybody pays their share. It's like going to a brunch, the last damn supper. I don't give a shit what you bought on the menu. We're all going to contribute, and pay the damn bill. End of damn story. And if you are in
Sounds like I might have gotten you a little bit worked up.
Oh, I stay worked up, man. I do things to keep from blowing up that you cannot imagine. But it's like this. If I was living in Missouri and I voted to have Medicare expanded and lowered to 55 where it was before Reagan became president, and my governor said, kiss my white ass or whatever color ass, you ain't getting it, he's not getting my vote. And when the American people do not understand, will not learn or recognize that these people are not in your best interest, you deserve the government you chose. So I am really, right now, I'm a black man in America. Why the fuck should I be all up in arms that you don't keep me from voting? Fine, don't let me vote. Because if you don't let me vote, you can't blame me for your fuck up.
Whoa.
Follow me?
Yeah.
That's the simplest thing. I don't understand why black people, I understand we want to be part of what we're going to do, what's going to determine our lifestyle. But you know, when people are sitting there fighting so hard, okay, I'm going to go to a little bit of my Asian culture. There are times you need to be the oak tree in the wind, and there's time you need to be the reed in the wind. American black people need to be a reed in the wind right now. Let that shit blow. Just don't get uprooted, because you become an oak, you will be blown down and your roots will be exposed and you will wither away where you landed. Because I'm like this. America, one size fit all. White, black, or whatever. Because America is a class-based society. And they don't want to talk about it. We were a class-based society in the 1800s. When Nixon, let me get off of Nixon. Let me talk about Lincoln. Lincoln made the statement to the president of the South, we will abolish slavery in 200 fucking years. Okay, 200 fucking years at 1861 makes it 2061. We're in 2021, right? I got 40 damn years still left in slavery. You know why I didn't let it go through? Because cheap fucking labor. Slave labor is cheap labor. So when Reagan allowed these companies to go overseas for cheaper labor and not follow Roosevelt. He didn't follow Roosevelt. Roosevelt said, fine, you want to go over to China and build your shit? We're going to charge you tariffs for bringing your shit in for the people you unemployed. That person was thinking about America. What we've had lately is the corporations have infiltrated and have laid out everything for themselves, and now they're scrambling trying to figure out, oh, damn, we're dying here. Why are we dying? Well, you know why we're dying? It's called greed. You got to have $1.2 billion in a country that is decimated, is set up on consumer. And you want to talk about capitalism? Capitalism is great. But we have a capitalistic consumer income. So if you don't pay the people, they can't buy shit. So how in the hell are you going to sell your shit? And if that's not a mark of stupid that you cannot understand, then you deserve to go under. This is why they don't want labor unions. Because labor unions say, you know, you got to pay our people $25. And then they get that everybody else wants to go to the place where they're paying $25 instead of the one who's paying $3. They can't figure that shit out. How dumb can you be? And if you're in business and you can't pay your workers enough money to buy your competitors' shit, knowing that they can't buy your shit, how do you expect to make a profit? There's only 400 rich fucking people. So you expect all those 400 people to buy something from you? You lost your rabbit ass mind. I'm not an economist, but damn, you don't have to be Einstein to see stupid. I'm sorry. We are a country of consumers. And the best thing that you could do is make sure that everybody has a chicken and a two-car garage so you can sell the garage material and sell the damn three chickens. And if you can't figure that shit out, then you deserve to perish at your own peril. This shit's crazy. It's really, really crazy that you have states saying, well, these people won't get any, we're going to cut off their unemployment checks because they're making too much money staying at home. Excuse me, Billy Boob. If you were paying them enough money, they'll be at your doorsteps kicking it down. Pay me, and work. No, you want to say, I want you to work for me doing seven damn jobs. I'm going to give you $1.75. I'm like, who the fuck can survive off of $1.75? And then you wonder why your business go out of business because the other person's people can't buy your turnips because your turnips cost too much damn money for them to buy. I got to pay for house, rent. I mean, I got to pay for rent, electrical, and all this other shit. Last week, I went dark because I didn't pay my electric bill. I'd be damned if I'm going to give up my gas bill. I'd be damned if I'm going to give up my water bill. These motherfuckers who are making decisions don't know what they are working with because they don't live in that society. It's to me, when a rich person, I don't give a shit what color you are, you going to tell me how to live on $15,000 a year when you ain't never lived on $15,000 a year? You're the person I don't need to listen to. You know why people get mad at Bernie Sanders? Bernie Sanders is preaching, let's give the American people back what they had at one time. Hillary Clinton lost my black ass when she said, we cannot have free college. Excuse me, witch. You're only a couple of years older than me. I lost my ability to get free junior college because of Reagan became governor of California. He killed that shit in 74. I graduated in 75, 76. My cousins had free junior college. So why the fuck I can't have free junior college? She had access to free college in New York, and she knows damn well. But she's buying into the bullshit, like a lot of other Democrats and Manchin, buying into the bullshit that the Republican Party is preaching that American people, since they, okay, what's the phrase they use? You don't miss what you have if you never had it. And the only time you miss anything is when they take something away from you that you had. And they're banking on people like me to die and shut the fuck up. Because my children don't know, nothing about the 60s or the 70s. They're clueless. And Bernie Sanders is just talking about, let's give the people back what they had at one time. Oh, let's talk about government cheese and the government before Reagan. I remember those days. I truly remember those days. When our farmers were having fucking problems, the government came in, purchased their shit to keep them afloat, and then gave the shit to the people free. It was the Republicans who bitched and screamed about doing that shit. And let me get to my key point. If you don't know your American history, then you can't talk about it because every Negro before 1961 was a goddamn Republican. I remember when my parents...
Because Lincoln.
Not Lincoln. See, what people don't realize, the Republicans were Lincoln's party. The Democrats were the South. And then after so long, the party switched.
Yeah.
I remember when my party, my family went from Republican to Democrat. I remember it well. I still have some Republicans. I believe I can relate to some of these Republican things. One thing I agree with the Republicans with is one thing only. no standardized minimum wage, because this is my reason. Every damn state has its own level of employment. I do not want.
Well, if you've got a fully unionized country, Lamar, you don't need a minimum wage. If every single working person in the United States has a union, the minimum wage becomes redundant.
Not okay. I see your point, but I beg to differ from you. The problem is the cost of living in each state. That's where the problem comes in. You cannot expect somebody in New York to live on the salary of somebody in Texas. That shit don't work. I know, I've seen it, I've enjoyed it through my lifetime. When my father was living, he lived, his folks were in Texas. Every summertime, he would take off from his job. He owned his own business. He would take a 2-month vacation. I worked with the school district. We would go to Texas for the summer. All I took with me was $600 with me, because there was no way in fuck I could spend more than $600 while I was down there, because everything was dirt butt fucking cheap then in California. I went to go visit my daughter, who was in Lompoc, Oklahoma. When I left California, gasoline, I'm renting a car. Gasoline in California was damn near $5, $4 and some change. I go down there, it's $1.87. Do you think I stayed at the house or on the base? I drove my black ass around. I can afford to spend $70 on gasoline. The cost of living in every fucking state is different. So my position is base the rate of the minimum wage on the cost of living in the damn state you live in. That's the same thing Bernie Sanders is saying. $15 an hour. Okay, right now, $15 an hour might be a good wage for Arkansas and those places, but it don't do a damn thing for New York and L.A. That butt fucks us big time. Where we're paying $457 for gas. I got a BMW. I can't put nothing but 92 in my goddamn car. There's certain areas in California, in my area, I got to wait to get to before I can fill my car up. I can be in Gardena. It's 423. I switch over to L.A. County, it's 457. And then I hit a little pocket hole in the, what's it called? It's 489. What do you think I'm going to fucking fill up at?
As long as I get premium.
Yeah, as long as I get premium, I got to go where it is. I tried putting that other stuff. I can't put Arco Richmond, Atlantic Richmond in my car. My shit be pinging unless, you know, I got a major engine maintenance bill that I don't fucking need. But it's really, it's shitty. I understand why people go to Florida and Nevada to retire, because the cost of living is fucking cheap. I'm like this. Like I told my wife and my kids, if I ever retire and I really get out of everything, I'm going to go and lease me some property in the Netherlands. Because, Bob, like this, when I was in the Netherlands in 1983, I got 310 of their goddamn dollars for $100 of American. So if I go over there with I go over there with $70,000. And I'm getting a pension check of $3,000. Do you think I'm going to live like an asshole?
I'm guessing no.
No, because for 100 of my dollars, I'm getting 310 of their dollars. I'm going to be rich. Only thing I got to worry about is not getting kidnapped and held for a hostage. And being a black person, they know America don't believe in paying hostages fees, so I'm a dead clown. There's reality. And like I said, I watch my wife and my relatives move from California to Florida and these states where their income is red states where they don't do income shit. Wonder why a lot of people are moving to Texas. I'm going to talk to you on an architectural point. I got to get off in a few minutes. But I'm going to talk to you as an architect.
All right.
I built a house in Alabama. That house would have went for $400,000 in California. That man built his house. This doctor built his house for $63,000. Five-bedroom home in Arkansas for $63,000. I see the houses. I sit there and my wife tells me, why don't you go to Texas where your folks are and start your architectural business? Because I tell her, baby, ain't no white man coming to me to build shit for him. You got to understand, Texas was the last slave state to give up slaves. And now we want to talk about Juneteenth. When they went there and they refused to tell people that they were free, come on, work with me. I know I got an S on my chest and on my forehead, but it doesn't mean I'm stupid. It don't mean that I'm super. I give myself strange. When they say you got an S on your chest, yeah, it stands for strange.
Got it.
That's where I'm at. I gotta run, Robin. I had to run because I got to go from L.A. County to, I think it's Alhambra. I gotta be there in 20 minutes, and I don't know if I gotta do the freeway or not. I gotta go, man. I enjoy talking with you.
I enjoyed it all immensely, Lamar. Thank you very, very kindly.
And you know, tell Billable Rick, I'm giving up on meeting him because he's in my backyard like Tracy. I'm giving up on them.
Oh no!
I'm gonna have to stumble in on them by a freak accident.
Well, sometimes that's how it happens.
I hope it happens because I've been wanting to get with Billable Rick something fierce. Because, I mean, if I get with Tracy, we'd be in the news. We'd be in a burnt down or kick somebody in the nuts, you know? I can deal with her. I like her. And she'll sit there and say it, and I'll be the muscle backing her shit up. So, you know, and like I said, I'm 6'1", and I'm about 350. I don't look it, but damn, when I hit you, you swear you hit by a freight train.
Well, a lot of inertial force behind that swing.
Well, you know, being an engineer, I know how to do that stuff. And if I can get four steps going forward, you know that more. I'm gonna turn that kinetic force into potential force, or is it kinetic or whatever it is. But when I hit you, if your shoes go with your body. And not stay where they were, where you were standing. I didn't do my job. You know, you play football. You heard of de-cleaking?
Hmm?
De-cleaking the individual.
Yeah, right out of the shoes.
This where you hit them. Yeah, that's us. But I don't succeed that. I didn't do my job. So if I go to hit you, I expect your shoes to be standing there and you landing somewhere else.
Exactly. Well, you go to your meeting. I'm glad you called.
Yeah, I gotta
Lamar.
Go to. Okay, buddy. Miss you.
All right, Bye. You take care. Bye now. That's our buddy Silent R. Lamar, bringing the heat. And we are at the halfway point of the program on this first program of
the month of July, 2021. I'm sorry, I just feel like summer's zooming by. But the next 2 months are 31-day months, so I don't know what that means on the QAnon calendar. Maybe there's only 28 days in July for them. I don't get the memo. I have no idea. So, and there was some interesting, a little bit of interesting news earlier today, in addition to the rat fuckery from the Supreme Court and the Alan Weiselberg story. Matt in San Francisco reminded me of it. Every bad day has a silver lining. Meghan McCain is leaving The View. I'm sure she'll go on to wreak havoc, but at least it won't be daily Monday through Friday. I'm betting she gets a gig on Fox. Good riddance to bad rubbish.
I don't know.
You know, Onan, the network that spills its news upon the ground, is they're an up-and-comer. So is Newsmuck. Maybe she's going to go full maggot. The Mouse Network said, "Oh, we've tried to keep her, but she's adamant that now is the right time for her to leave. She'll finish at the end of July 2021. So we've only got 30 more days to kick Meghan McCain around." And I just feel so damn sad for whoever's working the night shift at the Waffle House somewhere in Phoenix. Because it's going to be a hot mess when she gets there. No doubt about it. Arguing with the customers. Bringing over hard eggs when somebody wanted over easy or sunny side up. Shorty in L.A. reminds us, FYI, Horn family, California also got rid of affirmative action. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And adds, "Amen, my brother Lamar." Thank you, Shorty. Thank you. And so the stress line is open now. So, too, is the Skype line. Bob Kincaid Horn. As is the Skype line dial-in number, 304-574-8178. Matt in San Francisco added Condoleezza Rice. I've always hated that woman. Nothing about her pigment. It's all about her character. Yeah, I remember when she referred to George W. Bush as my husband. Yeah, or when she upbraided somebody who just happened to be working the jewelry counter at a D.C., at a D.C. department store back before department stores all kind of went the way of all flesh. Going back for a minute to the screw job the Supreme Court put on us today. Well, what they did in Arizona in Brnovich versus Democratic National Committee was to essentially finish off what last remnants there were of the Voting Rights Act. What they want to now say by a 6-3 ruling, and it was all the Republicans, the Bush appointees, the MAGAT appointees, the other Bush appointees, voter suppression is going to run wild in Arizona. Sammy Bad Breath Alito wrote the opinion, and he said,
it really won't have much effect on minority voting.
But then again, this is the same guy who said it wouldn't have much effect to shoot a black kid in the back of the head who was running away from police either. Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act is now coughing up blood on the porch. and what they effectively did, and I'm sure that they knew what was coming. They knew that the Biden Justice Department was going to try to secure the right to vote in voter suppression states like Arizona or Alabama. And so before the lawsuits could even really get their feet under them, the Supreme Court, look at it this way, they kind of preemptively dismissed those suits. Ballot harvesting was struck down. In Arizona, community organizations had the legal right to deliver to a polling place ballots that they collected on behalf of voters who consented to have their ballots so delivered. Well, according to the law that was passed and that was challenged, the law that was passed by the Magadi, Arizona legislature, it's now a felony that can get you a year in prison with a $150,000 fine to do ballot harvesting if you're a civic or a political group. In the opinion, again, by Justice Sammy Badbreath, he said,
having to identify one's own polling place and then travel there to vote does not exceed the usual burdens of voting. What it'll do to minority voters is small in absolute terms. I wonder if it's small as a bullet.
You know, like Sammy Alito said, it was okay to fire into the back of a fleeing black kid's head. Mm-hmm. And then there's the provisional ballots business. The Arizona legislature, back at the dawning of the maggot age, said it was absolutely forbidden to count either partially or fully provisional ballots in any election. And Sammy Alito said the Democrats, they didn't show any. No, where's the harm? Where's the harm in not counting them? You know, maybe in a fit of redistricting, you've been voting for 20 years at one polling place, and now you're voting at a different one. And so your ballot just gets thrown out.
Limiting the classes of persons who may handle early ballots to those less likely to have ulterior motives deters potential fraud and improves voter confidence. Now, that's just speculative horse shit. Because voter fraud is not a problem in this country and has not been a problem in this country. Period. End of sentence.
And so it went to the federal courts. The Democratic National Committee sued. The district court said Arizona wins. But the Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals said, no. These laws impose a significant disparate burden on Black, Latino, and Native American Arizonans trying to vote. And so that's when the Republican National Committee and the Ninth and the state of Arizona working together appealed to the Supreme Court, where they knew the fix was in. Because, once in a while, the Supreme Court may say, Yeah, who cares where kids go potty? But this is the shit that really matters. Because if people can freely vote in this country, the Republican Party, if you can get out the vote, and if people can freely vote in this country, the Republican Party fucking dies. It's not like it's dying because anybody was cheating. It's dying because it is a rump white supremacist party, period. The arguments were had back in March of this year, which is one of the things that makes me wonder, where the hell is the women's reproductive rights case? Because as bad as these decisions are, the California and the Arizona decisions, the one that's coming is going to be, horrible.
And who knows? You know, they can do anything they want to. Maybe they can just overturn Griswold versus Connecticut. Why not? Let's put those condoms back behind the counter and make them illegal to sell in the first place. And so this will have, you know, this will have an impact, not just in Arizona. And see, old Balls and Strikes Roberts, who was central to killing preclearance in the Voting Rights Act, old Balls and Strikes Roberts knew what he was going to do all the way back in March. I told you there was horse trading going on. Roberts asked, what if the provision results in a 1% decline in participation by minority voters? Is that substantial enough? A 1% decline among minority voters in Arizona? It's a shit ton of voters. Amy COVID Barrett chimed in. She said during arguments,
there's a difficulty that the statutory language and its lack of clarity presents in trying to figure out when something crosses from an inconvenience to a burden.
Well, come on. We know where Amy COVID Barrett, where she's concerned. It's inconvenient when it happens to people of color. It's a goddamn burden if it happens to Republicans. Right. So, they're doing everything they possibly can to put the Republicans back in charge in 2022. And they're doing a pretty damn good job of it. And so this will be used to advance the big lie in Arizona. Make no mistake about it. It's almost for certain. By the way, I mentioned the robocalls that I get about my warranty, my car warranty. That set off a little bit of an email storm. Dave number 11 pointing out, robocall blocking must be working somewhere else, because Sudden Stink Communications has served up 21 spam calls so far today, up from an average of 4. Yay, VoIP. Cream always rises to the top. And so too does scum, Dave, so too does scum. Lee in New York said, I get calls about my 19-year-old car's warranty. Not a Toyota, an unnamed Honda. Yeah, Earther said, thanks to those buggers, my car now has 9 concurrent extended warranties. Yeah, and I don't even have a car, Earther adds. Yeah, but you can stack those warranties. No, you can't. But that's, you know. I got one of those too, Ron and Raleigh said. I didn't know I had a car warranty. I also found out that my computer service contract is about to expire. Oh, yeah, mine expires every day, sometimes 2 and 3 times a day. And Ron added, your black card has been updated to reflect your gender change, so blaze away, Robin. Okay. But at some point in time, it's gonna get me in terrible, terrible trouble. Let's go over to the Skype line and see what's going on. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hi, it's Randy Radar.
Hey, Randy, what's up?
Yeah, I wanted to clarify that on the robocalls. It may only be for landline phones. I'm not sure.
Okay.
That they can't spoof the number. Also, I tried to communicate to you on other household economic matters. Section 4006 of the Recovery Act pays for funeral expenses of those who died from the virus for the relatives if it's not already covered by some other like burial insurance from Colonial Penn or one of those programs, you know.
Yeah. That would take a little bit of the misery off of it. Well, not the misery, but at least some of the stress and pressure off in the case of an absolutely miserable circumstance. I hope nobody needs that kind of coverage anytime. I mean, I want us to all get through this madness, you know, and I know you do too.
Right. Yeah. And another economic household item. When you get on Medicare and you select a supplement plan, because you know Medicare only pays 80%. You don't go for the Part C, or what Joe Namath is selling on television, which is the Medicare Advantage plans, and you don't go for a supplement plan that's an HMO. You want a PPO, and that'll save you thousands in surprise medical costs, if not $10,000.
And that's a preferred provider organization, right?
Yes, because then you don't have to be in network. So your TV local news or your TV station is lying to you when they're pushing the Medicare Advantage plans, unless you're in the extreme situation where you need the extra dental coverage or something like that. See what I mean?
Yeah, I do. How does it cost compare, Randy?
Well, for those on Medicare, I spend a total of about $375 a month. Where I am on covers everything except for dental and vision and meals and stuff like that, mileage.
Does it cover or is this? I don't know enough about Medicare. What about things like long term care or extended hospital stays?
It does not cover long term care, and that's the problem because you have to be very rich in order for the long term care, because you cannot afford to drop it at any time. So you are covered for a year's stay in the hospital on the Medicare.
Okay.
And the supplement plan will pay everything else. So, like, I pay $202 $0.19 a month for Medicare supplement plan under AARP, United Healthcare. And then I have to keep my AARP membership up at about $16 per year. And then the prescription drug plan, for which there are co-pays, but they're kind of reasonable under AARP, United Healthcare, the Part D, about $30 a month plus the co-pays.
Have you ever had any experience with that GoodRx program?
No, the problem is that if you value your privacy at all, you don't go in for the card, the discount card at the pharmacy. GoodRx broadcasts all your medical information. I believe that's how they make their money, and when they give you a discount, okay.
So basically, you're selling them your data.
You're selling them your data, yeah. So that's the problem, because I would think they'd make a good lawsuit advocate that only the rich can afford their privacy nowadays. See what I mean? Because they can afford to eschew the grocery card, you know, at the supermarket. It keeps track. You got food fingerprint when you buy at the supermarket. Okay, they know, they keep track of all your purchases, and. It makes up a fingerprint of you as a consumer. They sell that information too.
Oh yeah.
At the grocery store when you get the discount. And the same thing as the pharmacy. You don't want a pharmacy card if you can at all avoid it.
Yeah, but God, Randy, what grocery store doesn't have a discount card now?
Thrive Market.
Walmart doesn't.
Thrive Market delivers organic food to your door and doesn't have a discount card, but. Whole Foods doesn't have a discount card. They're owned by Amazon.
My three grocery choices here, well, there's a couple more.
Yeah.
Four.
Yeah.
Piggly Wiggly doesn't have a discount card. I do most of my grocery shopping up at Piggly Wiggly because I like the people. Kroger's got one. Food Lion's got one. Walmart does not have one.
Right. Well, I managed to get grandfathered into the supplement plan from AARP. It's so good they won't offer it to new people anymore. Okay, because it covers everything.
Oh, wow.
It's called the Plan F. If you can't get Plan F, which you won't be able to get anymore for the Medicare supplement plan, you got to go with G or N. And that's under the United Healthcare AARP. Of course, you've got to keep your AARP dues up. So I guess that $144 gets deducted from my Social Security check every month for the Part B. And that's not the supplement, okay? So it's $144 for the Part B. The Part A is paid by when you're working, okay? You don't need the Part C because that includes A, B, and possibly D. Okay, the Part C is Medicare Advantage, and that's a private insurance company, and it's an HMO usually. And that's how you get stuck with the extra that's how you get stuck with the surprise medical bills. So A is paid for while you're working. B, Part B gets deducted from your Social Security check. It's about $144 a month. And the Part C is $202-something. I'm sorry, not the Part C, but like the supplement plan is $202 and a month, and plan. So that's the plan F of United Healthcare, which I'm grandfathered under, and I'm getting so confused now. but the Part D is about $30 a month plus copays, and that depends on what tier the drugs come in at. They're classified by tiers, 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5. And I think the donut hole still exists in that, so you can get stocked if you get on a couple of expensive meds. And fortunately, I'm on tier 2. I was on tier 3. I asked for a tier reduction on Medicine, and that knocked my copay down to $6 a month for the tier 2.
Nice. How many flaming barbed wire hoops did you have to jump through for that?
Well, you have to jump through it every year. You have to get the doctor's approval to get a tier reduction, and they reject it the first time through.
So then you just have to be persistent.
Well, you just reapply a second time, this time with the doctor's oomph, which I'm sure he loves to spend his time on, you know, instead of doctoring. And you can get the tier reduction on various one or two medications of what you take. I take as few as possible because all these medications advertised on TV none of them are guaranteed to work. Okay? And what you want to do, well, what I do is I don't take a medication unless it's been out on the market for at least 10 years. Okay? I try to get the generic. Now, there's one more thing you ought to know about the generic medications, and that the inert ingredients, which are not exactly inert, vary from manufacturer to manufacturer. Okay? So one generic supplier may work better than another generic supplier. You can ask the doctor to write the prescription for a specific manufacturer. Okay? So, which is what I've done, because I got one that works for me. So the other thing about the generics is that the doctor won't tell you immediately, is that there's a potency per pill limitation on limits of potency. So for the brand name of a medicine, one pill can vary from 100% of its strength to 110% to 90%. So there's a 10% variance. On the generic pills, it can vary by 20%.
Oh, wow.
And so you can take a pill and it can be anywhere from 120% strong to 80% strong.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and the doctors initially won't tell you that. So, you got to find out what you can afford and what's right for you as far as the generics are concerned. And, of course, there's these Me Too drugs where they change an atom, a singular atom in the molecule of the active ingredient, and they get a brand new patent on it.
So, sure. I remember the first time I heard of that happening was when Prilosec.
Right.
Changed a molecule, you know, changed an atom, and then got to repatent.
As Nexium.
Exactly.
Right. So there's probably a generic Prilosec out there, which would probably do you just as good as the Nexium. I'm not a doctor, but you can check this out with your doctor if your doctor isn't in the pocket of the pharmaceutical companies. They're called Me Too drugs.
I didn't know about that.
That's how they get a patent on the, yeah. So I've been waiting for a week to get to break through the national news and give you these household tips on saving.
Yeah, it's been a chore. I mean, it's not quite the same as when Nitwit Nero was in office, Randy. But the news cycles have been a bit of a
right
deluge.
Yeah. So don't believe Joe Namath when he tries to sell you some cheesy Medicare Advantage plan that's Part C and combines A, B, and possibly D plus some more benefits. But the surprise medical bills will really bite you.
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah.
Well, I'm awfully glad you called in with all of that, Randy. I appreciate it.
Okay. Well, hopefully your listenership will learn not to trust the TV advertising. And
you know, I generally don't. I don't think most of us do because we know.
Yeah.
This community probably has a better understanding than most of what's going on in TV advertising.
By the way, the FG and N plans are only particular to United Healthcare and have nothing to do with the ABCDs of
Medicare.
Of Medicare.
Right.
Yeah. So you can't get in the F plan anymore. You have to be grandfathered in on that. You probably want to go with G or N in the United Healthcare. And the books they send you out may not be complete as all the plans you can apply for. The books they send you out from Medicare. Annually with all the plans. So, yeah.
All right. Well, listen, you have yourself a good evening. I appreciate it, Randy. It's always good to hear from you.
All right. Thank you very much.
Oh, you take care. Anytime.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye now. Our buddy Randy Radar. And lines are open if you do want to jump in. We are into the third hour of the program. $125 to go to finish off Bruce's Memorial Challenge. Well, I tell you what, I miss Bruce. He would have been hell's a poppin' all the way through the Trump administration. And probably still going great guns in this one, too. He's very much missed. What else? Well, there's a bunch of other stuff going on. I mentioned the opinions of the majority in these two shitty cases that were announced, that the Voting Rights Act couldn't be used to knock out those two Arizona voting laws that, well, Republicans actually love. Elena Kagan wrote the dissent, and as is often the case, insofar as she is dramatically more intelligent than any of the goons on the right-wing side of the court. Well, Elena Kagan, again, didn't pull any punches. She said, if a single statute represents the best of America, it is the Voting Rights Act. It marries two great ideals, democracy and racial equality, and it dedicates our country to carrying them out. If a single statute reminds us of the worst of America, it is the Voting Rights Act. Because it was necessary to beat back Jim Crow. And she said, because of the legacy of Jim Crow, the Voting Rights Act was and remains so necessary. She, if nothing else, this will stand. You know, history is cold comfort when you're watching democracy die. But at least this is there for posterity, just as Justice Harlan's dissent to Plessy versus Ferguson remains there. Justice Kagan wrote, the Voting Rights Act of 1965 is an extraordinary law. Rarely has a statute required so much sacrifice to ensure its passage. Never has a statute done more to advance the nation's highest ideals. And few laws are more vital in the current moment, yet in the last decade this court has treated no statute worse. That's kind of the Supreme Court equivalent of saying, you six assholes are a bunch of fucking Klansmen. And she said, Section 2 of the Act remains as written, as expansive as ever, demanding that every citizen in this country possess a right at once grand and obvious, the right to an equal opportunity to vote. Today, the court undermines Section 2 and the right it provides. The majority fears that the statute Congress wrote is too radical, that it will invalidate too many state voting laws. So the majority writes its own set of rules, limiting Section 2 from multiple directions. Wherever it can, the majority gives a cramped reading to a broad language. And see, the obvious thing in all of this is that the Voting Rights Act was sort of designed... Not sort of. It was designed to make states not want to engage in voter suppression. There's nothing radical about Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act if state legislatures, Republican state legislatures, aren't out there desperately trying to suppress the vote of people of color. And then she really brought the axe handle and said, the majority uses that conservative reading to uphold two election laws from Arizona that discriminate against minority voters. I could say, and will in the following pages, that's a nice touch, that this is not how the court's supposed to interpret and apply statutes, but that ordinary critique woefully undersells the problem. What is tragic here is that the court has yet again rewritten in order to weaken a statute that stands as a monument to America's greatness and protects against its basest impulses. What is tragic is that the court has damaged a statute designed to bring about the end of discrimination in voting. I respectfully dissent. Yeah. And because this goes hand in hand with what happened in Shelby County. Shelby County, Alabama. You know, that's the case where old Balls and Strikes Robert said, well, there's no such thing as racism in America no more. What are you people talking about? Mm-hmm. And basically, she said that the conservative majority is engaging in Jim Crow legislating from the bench as, remember all those years that the Fox News TV, Radio Rwanda, and the various judicial, these are liberal judicial activists. No, it's all projection. It's always all projection, as we've said so often on this program. The judicial activists are over on the right wing. And so, in the wake of Shelby County, this was just the next nail in the coffin. Shelby County opened up the racist floodgates for states to do anything they damned well wanted to try to keep people of color from voting. And so she pointed out that state after state has taken up or enacted legislation erecting new barriers to voting. Those laws shorten the time polls are open, both on election day and before. They impose new prerequisites to voting by mail and shorten the windows to apply for and return mail ballots. They make it harder to register to vote, easier to purge voters from the rolls. Two laws even ban handing out food or water to voters standing in line. Some of those restrictions may be lawful under the Voting Rights Act, but chances are that some have had the kind of impact the Act was designed to prevent, that they make the political process less open to minority voters than to others. And, of course, Sammy Bad Breath whined about it, and Elena Kagan deconstructed him for it. The majority brands this historical account part of an extended effort at misdirection. I'm tempted merely to reply, enough said about the majority's outlook on the statute before us, but I will add what should be obvious, that no one can understand the Voting Rights Act without recognizing what led Congress to enact it and what Congress wanted to change. Namely, the vicious, hate-filled, bloody efforts of the white Confederate remnant to maintain a death grip on the political process in those states. And as she points out, the thing needs to, Section 2 needs to be read broadly. Its language is broad. To read it fairly, then, is to read it broadly. And to read it broadly is to do much that the majority is determined to avoid. So the majority ignores the sweep of Section 2's prohibitory language. It fails to note Section 2's application to every conceivable kind of voting rule. It neglects to address the provisions concerned and how those with how those rules may abridge, not just deny, minority citizens voting rights. Man, that's a lot like just saying, you know, I hate you people. This court has no right to remake Section 2. Maybe some think that vote suppression is a relic of history and so the need for a potent Section 2 has come and gone, but Congress gets to make that call. Because it has not done so, this court's duty is to apply the law as it is written. The law that confronted one of this country's most enduring wrongs, pledged to give every American of every race an equal chance to participate in our democracy, and now stands as the crucial tool to achieve that goal. That law, of all laws, deserves the sweep and power Congress gave it. That law, of all laws, should not be diminished by this court. Without saying it, she said it. The Republican majority on the court, whether appointed by George H.W. Bush, George W. Bush, or Nitwit Nero, is a gang of dirty-ass racists. Plain and simple. Yeah. Jack in Shreveport, back to good RX for a second. Jack in Shreveport, said, I've gotten some really deep discounts for crucial meds using GoodRx or whatever my pharmacy can come up with when my insurance suddenly pops up with some doctor's pre-approval out of nowhere and I can't get the paperwork run through all the steps and signatures for a week or some unknown time and I'm out of the med and need it that day. The systems never let you know there's a problem until you get to the step that's a problem. I pretty much said fuck it on some of my privacy or on the using of my consumer behavior data. Hopefully depersonalized, but, you know, probably not. It's a hell of a chance. It's a hell of a choice that's forced on people. Oh, and speaking of elections, it's the date for the special election to recall Governor Gavin Newsom of California has been set. It will be September the 14th. That announcement was made today by Lieutenant Governor Eleni Kunalakis, because the petition signatures were only recently certified by the Secretary of State, Shirley Weber. So, well, we are in, I guess, especially if you're a California voter, you've entered the silly season. And the recall election will cost the voters of California $276 million. Here's a crazy notion. How about the people who start the recall petition are on the hook for the cost of it? I mean, I understand the, and I see it as a form of government, of anti-government crankiness, the idea of referendum and recall. Maybe it's because I don't have it here. But, you know, I've got Make West Virginia Great Big Old Governor Jim Justice, for God's sakes. And these maggots would reelect him and reelect him and reelect him. But if you make a choice, shouldn't you have to live with the choice? I don't know my California history at all well. But how many times has the gubernatorial recall process been used against a Republican? Now, I know Snot Walker up in Wisconsin survived a recall effort. And hopefully the same thing will happen for Gavin Newsom. But my God, it's still a dice roll. And how much stupidity will pollute the airwaves of California between now and September the 14th? At least the polling data suggests that Newsom will survive the challenge. According to the Public Policy Institute of California, a survey taken statewide back in May, 40% of likely voters would vote to recall Newsom. 57% would vote against recalling him. You have to have a majority vote, a 50% plus 0.0001 vote in order to trigger the recall. Newsom has something on the order of a 55% approval rating. He's at 64% on his handling of COVID. Newsom's team has rightly referred to it as a vast waste of taxpayer money. That never seemed to slow down the Republicans, though. Juan Rodriguez runs the Stop the Republican Recall movement. He said, this Republican recall is a naked attempt by Trump Republicans to grab control in California, powered by the same Republicans who refused to accept the results of the presidential election and are now pushing voter suppression laws across the country. On September 14th, Californians will have the chance to defend our state and reject this Republican power grab once and for all. Well, sadly, it's not once and for all. Because there's no such thing as once and for all with Republicans. And oh my God, like I said, the stupid season is upon you, California. Is Caitlyn Jenner going to have money to run a bunch of stupid ads being stupid? I'd say probably. Maybe she'll call for a bathroom bill. Maybe she'll call for a ban. Well, she already kind of has. A ban on trans kids in athletics, because those seem to be so very popular among Republicans in other parts of the country. I can only presume that if she tries something that stupid, that the LGBTQQIA plus community in California will rise up en masse. I sure hope so. And it's going to be a two-question ballot, and I guarantee you there are going to be people who are confused. One, do you want to recall him? And if you do want to recall him, who do you want to have replace him? Ugh. Ugly. So, San Diego Mayor Kevin Faulkner, the guy who lost to Newsom in 2018, John Cox. And, of course, Kate, who wants to be a thoughtful disruptor, just like her buddy Donald Trump, because she thinks Trump is a thoughtful disruptor. Excuse me? Right. Oh, note from Robert in Australia on the vaccine. Which vaccine? I mentioned the other day that Pfizer had approached the Australian federal government in June 2020 with a deal for their vaccine, but that it took the federal government until November 2020, 4 months later, before it had inked a deal for 10 million doses. I finally found out why, Robert says. The federal government wanted to go with the AstraZeneca vaccine first because it was cheaper. They didn't buy more doses, they just wanted to pay less. Even though they knew that it involved two injections and a three-month wait between each. The latest news is that they're now phasing out AstraZeneca because so many people won't take it and going with the one-shot Pfizer. Pfizer's two shots, at least here. 10 million doses of which they could have ordered 12 months ago. And while we're in a pandemic, it's always nice to know that the U.S. isn't the only fucked-up place on Earth. And while we're in a pandemic, ScoMo, Scott Morrison, has decided to cut 1,000 medical procedures from coverage by Medicare. People will be forced to choose between canceling life-changing surgeries or be hit with huge bills. Just remember, this is the same ScoMo who went on his second holiday of the year to Hawaii while the country was burning to the ground just 18 months ago. Literally burning to the ground. I don't know what it is with the Liberal Party. Remember, the Liberal Party in Australia is conservative because, you know, up over, down under. They hate Medicare with a passion, all conservatives do, and have been doing everything they can to destroy it since 1975. Signed, Robert, in Oz, in isolation, in New South Wales, as the Delta variant tears through the city. And, you know, thank heaven for little moments of deliciously delirious stupidity. I dropped a note to John Fox earlier today and said, you know, I'm really hoping this is real. This purports to be, and Robert, chime in if you may have seen this, it's done on a piece of copy paper for Aldi, Kohl's, and Woolworths. And it reads as follows. I badly want this to be real. I want this much reality going on in Australia. I'll be using my my Crocodile Kincaid voice. Listen up, shitheads. We have a simple message to all those idiots jamming our stores and our car packs. We got plenty of food and other items in stock. We got warehouses full of them. We won't run out unless you bastards keep listening to other bogans on social media. God, I love that word! We won't run out unless you bastards keep listening to other bogans on social media and snap up every item we stock before it even hits the shelf. As for toilet paper, for fact's sake, stop asking for it. We have plenty to go around. If only morons like you stop buying every roll for no good reason. We value your custom and support, but Jesus Christ, some of you are just fuckwits. That sounds like something from that Australia campaign. The videos of which Robert sends me from time to time. Bogans. God, I love that word. So good. Hang on, Robert. Of course, you're being sane and intelligent about it. We're rooting for you. Oh, and I got a note from Cynthia in the Bay Area. Sparky yesterday sent me the 40-minute video that the New York Times produced, and my God, I watched it after the program. It's mind-bending. Sparky said it just blew his mind. Well, Cynthia just watched it. I just finished watching this New York Times YouTube video about January 6th, and I am fuming mad. I wish there could have been a bunch of Marines there with machine guns to wipe out those treasonous terrorist bastards. They're not my fellow citizens. They're domestic enemies. Oh, my. Otherwise, I hope to donate to the show next week. Now I need to calm down. Breathe, Cynthia, breathe. And thank you, dear. Thank you so much. But I understand. That didn't look like... It wasn't a propaganda video. It was just 40 minutes of abject, un-American, anti-constitutional fury. And I haven't heard of anybody else watching it who wasn't equally moved. Even poor Mika this morning on my filthy morning habit was having a conniption. Because it's that bad. It is that bad. And yet I look at stories this evening like a guy who was charged with his participation in the January 6th insurrection. And he was charged and released. And son of a gun, now the lawyers for the government are trying to revoke his pretrial release because, lo and behold, he bought 34 guns after he was released. Thomas Robertson is a former police officer from Rocky Mount, Virginia. When he was arrested, he was told, do not possess guns. Charged with a felony. Well, he got fired from his cop job because, like dumbasses, they took pictures of themselves inside the Capitol during the insurrection. And yesterday, with the FBI having served a search warrant at his home, they found a pipe bomb in a box that was labeled booby trap. They found and this is a technical term, shit ton of ammunition. And he thought he was being cute by stockpiling his 34 firearms at a local Freedom Protector dealer. The government writing in its motion to put him back in the stir. The defendant's possession of an explosive device and firearms, coupled with his extreme rhetoric advocating for violence, indicating no remorse, illustrate that the pending charges are unlikely to serve as a deterrent for future violence. For these reasons, the defendant should be detained. How about maybe the charges should be upped? And he's so proud of what he did. Shortly after he participated in the attack, he said, the picture of senators cowering on the floor with genuine fear on their faces is the most American thing I've seen in my life. The only voice these people will listen to now is violence. CNN and the left are just mad because we actually attacked the government, who is the problem, and not some random small business. The right in one day took the fucking U.S. Capitol. Keep poking us. Yeah. Are they proud, too? He asked. I sure as fuck am. I've said before, they're trying to teach us a lesson. They have, but it's definitely not the intended lesson. I've learned that if you peacefully protest, then you will be arrested, fired, be put on no-fly list, have your name smeared and address released by the FBI so every loon in the U.S. can send you hate mail. I've learned very well that if you dip your toe into the Rubicon, cross it. Cross it hard and violent and play for all the marbles. And the government's going to have to struggle to put him in jail. And the best thing they've got is felony disruption. Jesus, jumping Christ. I thought we used to have a sedition act. Because this is, you know, sedition. Let's run back over to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Who's this? Who's this?
Who's this?
Hello?
Hello?
Am I there?
You're here, man. You're here.
I know.
I know. What's going on? I knew you knew. You knew I knew you knew. Everybody else knew we knew. We're a knowledgeable community.
Well, we have to start with the known knowns.
That fucker.
And then, ain't that some shit?
And the unknown gnomes. And the little gnomes that are concrete that you put in your garden. Yeah. The garden gnomes. Now, the fuckers under the bridge, those aren't gnomes. Those are trolls. We have to be sure we understand about the trolls.
Now, when Barr is in that same bucket, I feel a little bit better. Because I'm still pissed off at the liberal media for not just saying, yeah, this guy, you know what? He's not trustworthy. Do you remember Iran-Contra when Congress knew what people were up to and devised and formulated an amendment? Tell them, stop this. And they still went ahead and did
it. Well, there were a bunch of pictures of Donald Rumsfeld today and yesterday. Where was the picture of him shaking hands with Saddam Hussein and grinning like a fox eating shit out of a wire brush?
I'm laughing because I know that picture. It's like a 5x7.
Oh, he's standing there shaking hands, and Saddam's grinning, and he's grinning, and they're all so happy because the United States has just sold some fucking chemical weapons to Iraq that they're going to use on Iranians, and hot damn, them Iranians got it coming. Kill them, Saddam. Well, you know, kill them. You're our buddy.
In retrospect, now that we know what happened, you know, their artifacts in their banks got raided. A lot of people got very wealthy. Remember, when you overrun a country, you get all the documents, you get the things to the machinery, the what you need to make passports, money, gold, all kinds of stuff. That's at your disposal. And then Iraq, you know, come on, those are irreplaceable artifacts.
Yeah, so,
you know what I'm thinking. It's like okay, but.
Well, remember the Green family from Hobby Lobby? Remember them?
Oh, how can we...
Opened up their Museum of the Bible right there in Washington, D.C. And started buying up artifacts for all they were worth. Turned out a bunch of them were, well, they were all illegal, and a bunch of them were fake. Oh, well.
And I feel the same way about... You know, the Rascal folks, because that blew up that wonderful, wonderful statue. It wasn't even a statue. It was the cliff face. It was like, you know, what we had.
Oh, the Bamiyan Buddhas in Afghanistan? Yeah those assholes?
Thank you. You know what? Thank you, Robin. I really couldn't get that out because I couldn't believe what I was seeing when that happened. It was shocking.
Oh, I kind of lost my shit when that happened because... I temporarily lost control of my peacenik street cred because I was like, nah, you know, they've been awful all along. This is the final straw. We need to go in and blow a few of them up. And I was like, what the fuck am I saying? But
well, you weren't alone. That's what I'm saying. Like, they're not, you know, they're not right. Something is wrong with those. They're off. They're really not. There's no good that can come of them. They maybe, and we don't like to make this, you know, we don't even like to talk about groups of people like that. You know, caveat, you know, the behavior. That what the hell? Who do they? That's like killing a sequoia tree that's 3,000. Who the fuck are you? You can't fucking touch a tree that's 3,000 years old. 2,000. 1,500. Am I wrong here?
No. Absolutely right.
I mean, people, it's hubristic behavior. But, okay, so since you brought it up, this sedition thing, this is dangerous. The fact that people are being so lackadaisical about what happened, and we have had our lawmakers say that they, you know, it was a visit, it was a tourist, and all that kind of shit. And you know what? This is going to hurt us in the long run. This is dangerous. This is, in other words, they're normalizing.
Well, yeah, what have we been saying since January 6th? The failed insurrection is just a dress rehearsal for one that succeeds. And they are still planning. Well, and they're listening to and they're listening to Mr. Meth Pillow, Todd, who says that, I'm in charge of the inaugural parade for August.
Well, he's got the good meth.
Oh, he's got the blue meth from Breaking Bad, right?
Well, he's got better than. Well, I'm gonna tell you something now. This is. Oh, he's got that shit from South Philly with the P2P in it. You know, from the pagans and the warlocks. He got that shit. You know, that was the real shit. Not that I would know. I'm just saying. But
yeah, I don't want the goddess of irony to you know. That flipped me on my little pink ear or anything. I don't understand. I mean, what is the attraction? I mean, you know, weed. Okay.
Well, I told you this. Now I did that one time. Well, you segued into it, but it's like an imprint on my brain. I'll never forget it. One, the good shit, and because the people are, you know, I just happened to be around the right people.
this is way back. We're talking late 70s. This is the real shit. Like what they talked about with the P2P. It doesn't matter. It's so long ago. I don't care. Tiny line, inch long. I was high for literally like 12 hours. I called my friends. I was like, why am I still high? And then, you know.
But I mean, without further potential incrimination, what kind of high was it? I mean, it can't be like a weed high.
No, it is. It's unnatural. It has no place for mankind. Just like in the literature, right? You feel invincible. I felt for a number of hours, I felt like I was about to orgasm. You know, of course, the energy. But the coming down is awful. It's terrible. Because you feel so good. You feel so, and it's so long. It's so long acting. That's what it is. It's so long, and you feel so bad.
Oh, and then the come down happens, and come down's got to go away, so you need to do a little bit more.
Such a minuscule amount, but this is what I'm saying. But see, I don't know that everyone had access to that. Like, seriously, this was like the pagans and the warlocks, the motorcycle gangs in southeastern Pennsylvania are ones who, they between them and, this is just history. I just happened to be in the right place. And I can talk about it now. I don't care. It's been so fucking long. Who cares? But I'm just saying, that's what it's about. So, you know, like a lot of other things, you know, you had to be strong. You had to make a choice. And what a lot of the girls would do, women, they'd be cleaning. They would clean the house. They would clean the crack. You know, the clock radios were a big deal back then, right? Hit the Q-tip. The house would be spotless. They'd be skinny as a rail and just cleaning, 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 cleaning. That's all they did all day, clean, 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 clean. You know, that was their thing, you know, while their husbands are out, you know. But so, you know, just since you asked, because I'm telling you, that shit made an imprint. That shit ain't no joke. That stuff is made for no man. That is don't even fucking go near. Why do you think those people go from looking like normal people to they're 80 years old in 4 months? You know, you're causing your body to generate adrenaline.
You're running your metabolism hog wild, right?
Yes. But like I'm saying, the feeling. Now, you know, who knows? Now, you know, we got these rogue nations. Who knows what they're making, you know, with these analogs and all that. But this is not, I don't want to get into all that. What I'm talking about is this sedition stuff. And wait a minute. And a lot of these folks, you know, they're like Nazis. They like that kind of shit. You know, the Venn diagram is apparent again. Because, you know.
Single circle.
I don't know what
Republicans, maggots, Nazis, white supremacists, white nationalists, just one circle.
What is it going to take? What is it going to take for America to realize that we have a real problem? And what a lot of folks want to do is they don't want to talk about race. When you bring it up, why are you playing the race card? Why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? You know, talking about things, and it doesn't just go for race. That goes for what, you know, you went through. That goes for you know what? It goes for painful changes. People don't like, they're uncomfortable with being uncomfortable. Life is not always comfortable.
No, it is not. But we seem to have a hard time dealing with sedition, with treason.
Thank you.
Witness the end of the Civil War. You know, a few of the upper echelon really should have swung.
Okay, I agree. Absolutely. Well, see, that we didn't know how bad that was going to turn out. Now, I think Sherman knew, and he's still vilified, but he's like, okay, this is a war. Now, I have to do some more research. You know, people are people, and they have different feelings. But while I'm on this vein, let me say this to anybody who has friends, relatives who say, well, you know, they were a product of their times. Refrain yourself from using that logic. Because at that same time, you had abolitionists, and they were a product of their times also.
Yeah. Well, it's like when we talk about the fact that Thomas Jefferson was a rapist. It's not like we're judging him by standard by modern standards. That's judging him by the legal standards of his own time. And it's not like there weren't people who were opponents of Jefferson's pointing out that he was having sex with an enslaved woman, and that was, you know, granted, Virginia had passed statutes, maybe by then, saying, well, you know, if you happen to kill a slave while you're beating him, that's not murder.
Mm-hmm.
But there is still the there's still the issue of what is referred to, and it sounds civil incompetence. That is that you are civilly and legally incompetent. That means that you cannot make decisions on your own behalf. And civil incompetence didn't just apply to Sally Hemings. It applied to practically every woman of any color anywhere in the colonies. That's why that's why eventually you get these things called Married Women's Property Acts that said, hey, look, a woman really can own property. I mean, we look back at that and, well, that's crazy. No, it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
It was a product... some of it went back to ancient Rome. You know, a vagina person could not own property, whether that property was real or personal.
That's just true.
Yeah. Nobody wants to really get down in the dirty and deal with that.
I don't know why not. It's just history. It's just true.
Because the white feelings are dainty and delicate and easily hurt.
Do we have to go back to this again?
Yes, we always have all to right, go back right, to this, Todd. Sorry, right, I'm not yelling right, at you.
Okay.
Or we can talk about what we're going to grill this weekend.
Well, we'll get to that. But see, and whatever you do, do not listen to Washington Journal for the first hour this morning. Do not listen to it. It's dangerous. Do not listen to it.
Bad things, man.
Bad things. Bad things will emanate from that. You do not listen to that. So we're back to, see, this is, I think this is so simple. And when you would listen to Washington Journal, it folks have just, you know, they've become disassociated from their true selves. It must be, because remember, everyone, I don't care who you are, your feelings and facts, sometimes they are congruent, but most times, oftentimes, they are not. They absolutely are not. Just because some shit makes you feel bad, you know, step back. All right, you feel bad, but is it right? Is it the right thing to do? Or is it appropriate? Maybe your shit is fucked up because, you know, a lot of people don't have a fucking rudder. You know, they just
go wherever they're towed.
They go wherever they're towed, or whatever beacon is leading them. Whatever they feel is righteous. That's what they do. You know, by hook or crook. And you know, you look at some folks, I'm not poking, but I mean, some of these religious zealots, you see it in their eyes like, you're just fucking crazy.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's why people, why do you focus on the religious crazy so much, Robin? Because they're fucking dangerous, and they don't give up, and they want power. I mean, that crazy, that vicious little bastard who sets off all the gaydar that is talking about how happy he was somebody got run over at Pride, and was talking within the last week about how, well, I mean, I don't want people to go out and just start killing them. I want the government to kill them. I want them excommunicated. Right wing Watch had to fight for its very existence on YouTube. At the same time that stupid prick's channel is still up, and yet YouTube has a policy against hate speech. Blow me. You know,
it's pretty selective. Who do you hate? But
yeah, it all depends on who's getting hated.
At which time, you know, I was being sarcastic about, but you have to listen to Washington Journal this morning. It was about what, you know, the Democrats' attempt at finding the truth behind January 6th. And, boy, I tell you what, people have opened up. We're already, I'm sorry to say it, but we are, in fact, in a civil war. It's not so cold anymore. It's not cold at all. In fact, before I brought you on, Todd,
the story, I mean, you're in deep shit with the government. You have a felony lodged against you, and you're trying to be cute, and you're buying 34 firearms and stockpiling them at your local gun store?
See, that's where we left off last time we talked. This is what you have to listen to these people. They, in their minds, they are saving the country by storming the Capitol and destroying what actually protects their right to fucking even talk.
Ta-da!
If you listen, there are some, oh my God. And remember, now we know that, okay, Washington Journal in the morning, and I have
it's a zoo.
It's a zoo, but I have to disagree. Now, I know Scarborough has a rough schedule with that 2.5-day work week or whatever the fuck he is. But you know, he made a comment because they brought up Washington Journal like one morning, and he said, "I remember when they used to have guests on." And he, you know, if he would listen enough or attend to it or got paid to do it, like I have to do it. You see, they get the callers in, then you get people from each side on the topic to let them talk. Then you get some congressmen. It's very even. So the fact that this is the thing, the fact that in the past, since 2 years before Trump was elected, the fact that you had a stat significant portion of the callers believing that C-SPAN was leaning left, that was a red flag.
Well, everybody that isn't flying a fucking swastika or a Confederate flag leans left.
Well, see. All right, now stop. That's not funny.
I'm not trying to be funny. I mean, that's about where we are, isn't it?
Their rudder needs to be recalibrated. Their rudder is off.
Well, Jack in Shreveport just wrote in, subject line, Washington Journal. Jesus fucking Christ, Washington Journal's been full of disgustingly stupid motherfuckers. I should be able to cuss. Todd gets to. The delusions of idiots this morning were unbelievable in their absolute refusal to consider looking into other info. They're selfish, 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 and don't give a damn about any other citizen in the country but them. And other folks as white as them, I would add. Yeah. Oh, and by the way, Clarence chimed in and gave you a bit of an amen. Subject line, late Good. 70s. Todd's talking about what they called monster. He's exactly right.
Bam!
You know these things.
I'm not kidding. I'm just saying, man. And like literally, it made an imprint. And you know what? And I'm going to tell you where I was. I was in Montgomery County. You know, out where the white folk are. You know, we just moved out to the suburbs. And I'm, you know, I got, my gang was a bunch of Irish. There was a couple black folk and mostly Irish, a whole Irish family. And we were, you know, our little group. But, you know, they knew people. And we went to the state fair. You know, it was like, not state fair, county fair. And I want to say something about Cosby, too, since I'm talking about Montgomery County.
Oh, but yeah, Bruce Castor.
Hey, Clarence, let me shout it. Man, Clarence, man, I got so much respect for you. Clarence, man, love you to death. Got so much respect for you. Got it. But, right, so, yeah, and I'm not kidding, man. It was like, I mean, that's how good that shit was, man. And I was like, damn, I'm feeling like I'm about to come. And I'm around all these women, and everybody's like feeling, it was like, this is just, it's too much. It's too much. But I was like, oh, I'm never doing that shit again. Thank God for Bud, man. That's what I'm saying. That's cool. And I can't imagine somebody
stepping into that culture without having a foundation and buzz, period. You're fucking lost. You better get, you don't, you know, just fucking forget about it. Because your shit will be fucked up forever, man. You got to have some grounding and some education and shit.
Oh, Jack said, Washington Journal this morning, one asshole was jumping all over Pedro's ass, telling him that him and C-SPAN were way biased.
See? Pedro looked like he was going to cut somebody's ass. I think he had a straight razor in his fucking pocket. He was like, shoop. I mean, it was like...
Pedro with the straight razor in his shoe. In the billiard room.
In the billiard room. Oh, my God. Okay, so Montgomery County. Now, listen, you know what? I've been listening. Now, you know, I have a personal connection with this case because, you know, he spoke at my graduation. So, Bill Cosby, you know.
Did he tell you to pull your pants up and shit? That stuff that he did?
Well, he had some terror. And he always was, apparently, he was always like that. And I'm telling you, he grew up in Richard Allen. Like, when you see the Cosby kids and that they're in the junkyard, they grew up in the Richard Allen homes. Okay? That's right off of Temple's campus. And there wasn't a, I don't know, there's not a junkyard near there, but...
Fat Albert and Mushmouth.
Right,
and
right. That's North Philadelphia, right. So that's... And, you know, the word on the street, that he was big on that Spanish fly thing. Now, that being said, you know, if you're going to be detained by the law, they can't say, well, we know you've been doing this, so we're going to arrest you anyway. This is America. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. Now, I know he's a detestable, his actions are detestable. He's a complicated individual. Look at all the shit all the stuff he did for kids. I'm like, God, the stuff is out there. Now, but that other part of him, the real self, his personal self is, you know, that's fucked up. But here's the thing. Let's talk about the law. This is what I have not heard yet. I've been waiting. And I know this for a fact because I was following this case because I remember Mumia and Judge Sabo who fucking Mumia Abu-Jamal up with his stupid little racist ass. So listen, he had a fucking settlement with Constan. A settlement, a contract. She took money and she continued to talk with him.
Well, but here's what drives me crazy. One, Bruce Castor was the... I'm not touting anything that I did or... But I learned early on, you don't make deals with defense counsel that you don't put in writing.
That don't mean nothing.
So there's this agreement that he wouldn't prosecute him for her, the woman that he was ultimately prosecuted for, but there's no written agreement to prove it. And Bruce, you know, we know all we need to know about Bruce Castor because that motherfucker was willing to take Donald Trump's coin to defend his sorry ass in the impeachment.
Yeah, he's syphilis.
Yeah. Damn fine word, that. And so consequently, the whole thing's skeevy as fuck because the way it plays out, if I understand it correctly, okay, I'm not going to... And if a prosecutor says, well, you know, the evidence just isn't there, you're stuck. The victims are just stuck. And so Bruce Castor, for whatever reason, said, well, you know, I don't think it's ever going to go to trial because the evidence isn't there. And the next guy who runs on a platform of, I'm going to try this motherfucker. And so they never tell him about the oral deal that he's made that Cosby and Bruce Castor have reached. No, that does not pass the smell test, Todd. And so then he goes into the civil suit and says, well, yeah, I mean, I bought some Quaaludes and Jell-O pudding pops. And I put the Quaaludes in the Jell-O pudding pops. But he had, basically he admits buying Quaaludes to use on women in order to have sex with them in the civil suit.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow he was Cosby was played into doing that because he didn't think he was going to get What lawyer lets his client admit to buying Quaaludes to drug women with? What competent defense counsel does that?
Zip.
I object to the question. I object to the form of the question. I object to the questioner questioning the question. And now I need 15 minutes with my client.
That's it.
We need a break here. We need a break here. And so, that happens in deposition. So you take a break. And you go off with your client and say, dumb mother. I don't know if you bought. I don't know if you bought Quaaludes. And so, since I don't know if you bought Quaaludes or not, and you say you didn't, that's where we are. Now, if you go back in there and say you bought Quaaludes, well, Billy Boy, that's on you.
Right.
And he goes, right. I bought the Quaaludes and I put them in the pudding pops. And you, what the fuck?
Why are you saying that on the stand? Like, first of all, you're not ever supposed to be on the stand. That's number one.
Well, I mean, it's a deposition in a civil suit. There's no way around it.
Well, that deposition, yeah. Okay, fine. Right. Well, I'm sorry. Right, civil. Okay. Sorry.
But then they come back and they try him for it, and they bring in some... And I, at the time of the trial, I thought this was a little bit sketchy. Bringing in other women he drugged and raped that you are not charging over? How the hell did that... What kind of fucking carnival midway operation was that trial court running?
That's when I lost my shit. I said, wait a minute. I had to do the cartoon, wipe your eyes like Ren and Stimpy. You know, what the fuck? Wait, what?
Yeah, that was some Yak Shaving Day shit. But, I mean, I don't get it. I mean, these are high-powered, highfalutin Philadelphia lawyers. I mean, Philadelphia lawyers is a cliche. I mean, get me some goddamn Philadelphia lawyers, right?
Because they're Jews. Wait a minute. I came out and watched the journal today. Oh, my God, this dude came out and said, it's the Jews. I swear, it's the Jews, Henry. This was, man, today, if you want to know what a portion of our country is like, a big portion, a stat significant, a vote.
You know, they need to change the name of Washington Journal to This Is How Fucked Up We Are. Or maybe change it to
wait a minute.
C-SPAN presents You Only Thought We Were Okay.
Yo, you get a messed up cowbell for that.
Jesus. And Brazen comes out and I did this for. Did you hear that? Did you hear his statement afterward that he called into a Philly radio show? I did this for all the wrongly convicted, no matter regardless of religion, race, creed, or color, because I met them all in the joint. Do you hear that shit?
No, I didn't hear it.
And the video of the young pretty women who were deliberately put there to come over and, like, take him by the arm. Jesus, how long till he gets a fucking show on Fox or Onan or Newsmuck? Honest to God.
You know, and remember, what we're talking about is really, it's the most basic behavior in any way you look at it. You know, for a perpetrator, that's just like, what the hell is wrong with you? And then for, let's say, someone who, not in this case, but someone who's falsely accusing, like, what the hell is wrong with you? You know, this is like the oldest trick in the book, but it's the worst thing in the world at the same time. But this whole legal shit, I mean, what the fuck? How do you overturn a settlement? If that's precedent. I don't get that.
I know.
Explain that to me.
Well, because I can't.
So the whole shit done, but you see, yes, how much. Now, remember where he, he lived in Cheltenham Township.
Yeah.
Which is right over the line. You know, and remember who, BB went to Cheltenham High School. You know, it's like nice, man. I'm telling you, when you cruise through that area, you see where they play football and baseball and all that. It's like, damn, it looks like a pro field, you know. And it's right over from Ogons, but Ogons is okay, you know, for us, like West Oak Lane. Well, I ain't got no problem with that, you know. That was my last hood was around Cedar Brook, West Oak Lane, up top, what they call up top. It's nice up there, you know. But, wow, man, I don't know. The fact that we have a whole lot of America that doesn't understand what an insurrection is and doesn't understand when, first of all, don't storm the Capitol. Just probably don't do that. Then don't storm the Capitol when people are counting ballots and is like a ceremonial, you know, session going on. Don't do that. It's not a good look.
But have you seen that 40 minutes of video from the New York Times, Todd?
You know, I caught a piece this morning on Morning Joe. I'm kind of
the whole 40 minutes will make your blood boil like you're in space.
I was hoping you weren't going to say that.
It's nuts. I mean, no, that's not no. It's evil. It's evil. These are wicked people. These are bad people. You can't even write it off to stupid because, okay, Mr. Data Guy, there had to be some percentage of stupid people there, but most of them weren't. They were willing to burn this country down for their autocratic dictator wannabe.
Well, see, that's what I'm concerned about. You know, you remember early on we were like, okay, so how did they get that close? Like, how many people are, you know, in our system and sympathetic to this movement? You know, just like we were wondering, is Trump going to use the apparatus of the state to spy on people? I don't, you know. Is
yes.
Don't hesitate. Well, look. I know, so look, do you have anything on the flat grill? What are you doing?
I have not done a single slab of ribs this summer.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking ribs. Maybe a plank of salmon too.
You better not. Oh, salmon. Yeah. Just off the top of my head, I have to say this. You know, we live near a base, and I have a couple people who are in the military, and they, you know, go to the PX over there. Not the PX, but there's a market. They get ribs we can't get. They get the ribs and all the meat in between the bone. I mean, an inch of meat. Just an inch of meat. Yeah.
Well, you know, the supply chain on pork is just fucked up all kinds of. It's terrible. But just one, for anybody contemplating it, just one little thing. Please do not be taken in by baby back ribs. Please. They are not made from baby pigs. They are not more tender. They have been pre-cut. And so if you buy the country style, the whole slab.
Get the whole slab.
And then you you start off, you cut that little flap off the back because it cooks all fucked up.
Yep.
And then you peel off that membrane. And then you trim it. And you can trim it down to what are called St. Louis style ribs. And they cook uniformly that way. And so you don't wind up with some parts that are tough as shoe leather and other parts that ain't done.
Preach it.
And it's not that hard to do. I mean, you can look up YouTube videos on it. How to cut St. Louis style ribs.
Well, it'll take about 6 minutes to trim that thing up.
Right. And the thing that makes it so crazy is, you know, you pay more per pound for a baby back rib because you're paying for it because it has been processed more. If you'll just do the work, you're going to get something just, you're going to get a product just as good. And it's going to come in, it's going to come in at a per pound price, maybe a buck and a half, $2 less a pound.
See.
And then I brine it. You know, I've got this bag of absolutely magic, extra hot Hatch New Mexico red chili powder that Dr. John sent me in a care package. And I make
to put the goggles and gloves on.
Yes. Yes. I mean, you got to dump it with 30-foot tongs. It's hot. And so I make...
You're in a Pittsburgh steel plant, and you got the little fucking...
Oh, yeah, and you got the whole Warner Brothers... And so I make my brine, and I put that stuff in, and I put my onion powder in, and I put my garlic powder in, and all my other little secret 11 herbs and spices. Get it all stirred up and submerge those slabs in that brine for about a day. Whoo!
Man, oh, shit.
And then I got my little rib rack, and it'll hold like 6 slabs.
Oh, it holds them vertically, huh?
They stand upright horizontally.
Okay. Oh.
Oh, yeah, and do you have the over-under on how long it is, if he hasn't done it already before Nitwit Nero says,
Alan Huselberg? What? Never heard of the guy.
Oh, we had, wow. You know, when I saw, it's so funny you brought that up, because right before I called, I pulled up the hill, I looked at that picture, I said, damn, that fucker's arrested. You could see his hand, oh, man. It just really hit me then. I was like, uh-oh. You know what I'm saying? I was like, uh-oh. We're about to see some real doo-doo. But you know what's funny? If the press, oh, my God, listen. If the press is so liberal, why is it that no one has just made the common sense thread, needle and thread, just piece it together like beads, that all these tell-all books, from the very first one, Tom Wolfe, then that little crazy black woman, and, all the way through. All the way through. Manigault, whatever her name was. They were all right.
Yeah, nobody was lying. That's like they're still pissing and moaning about, what was it, Jim Shorts Jordan the other day. The fake Russian dossier. No, most of that's been proven to be true.
No, it's not fake. They keep the Washington Journal this morning. I'm telling you, it's a slice of Americana. We're in a bad fucking place.
Oh, by the way, you got a couple more things from Clarence. Another observation. Bill Cosby got his eyesight back. If you watch his movements, he doesn't need much help with his walking. Ain't freedom lovely?
Nope.
It's a miracle. I can see.
I saw that. He was focused.
I can see my Jell-O pudding pup. I got to stop that. And Clarence says, subject line, ribs at Shaw. Tell Todd to look for a market supplied by Spartan Nash Distribution. Spartan supplies military installations. They also supply civilian markets.
That's what I'm talking about. That's exactly where these ribs are. See? That's exactly. Queen Jackson and Shaw. Well, all right. Shaw's in Sumter. Right. Yep.
Might be worth the drive.
Right, see, it's a small world. I hope everyone's doing all right. So,
Everybody's hanging in. Cynthia jumped in a minute ago. She said, I've calmed down a bit now. I'm breathing and thinking about grilling this weekend. And yeah, my blood was boiling like I was floating naked in space. But I bought some corn cobs this morning to throw on the grill. I haven't bought anything else for it yet. But I think Saturday I'll buy some of my local store's all-beef jumbo hot dogs. I have some sauerkraut and plenty of mustard to smother them in. Yum. Get some really good mustard.
That's what I was just about to say.
Get the Maya, M-A-I-L-L-E, the French stuff. Yeah, that's righteous. Cynthia continues and says, I'll likely pick up some chicken. Maybe some ribs? Ribs sound good. Maybe some hamburgers, too. I don't think I'll go all out with the expensive cuts of this or that, but even with what I do grill, I'll have leftovers for several days at least, and it'll be, all be good. And the nice thing is, if you can smoke the ribs, they'll keep a little while in the fridge because they're smoked, and smoke is a preservative.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Low and slow. Low and slow.
Yes, indeed. And, you know, pick an interesting... I mean, I usually use hickory, but, you know, pick something interesting. Apple, cherry, pecan... God, I mean, maybe you know somebody, Cynthia, that'll turn you on to some grape, dried grapevine. Holy cow, that's wonderful for smoking.
That, Bob is not kidding, Cynthia. It's the truth. You know, it's a progression. You know, it's not something you learn overnight, but that's the truth. These woods have different flavors, and the young wood, like these young pecan twigs that are about the size of my pinky, they have no bark on them yet. When you put them on the fire at the end, it's a profoundly sweet. Now, if I could have some apple twigs like that, because apple's special.
Yeah, it is. Apple. Peach, pear.
Peach, and that grape, what you're talking about. See, the grape, I find that it covers that whole flavor spectrum. You know how we talked about, like, an oscilloscope in the spectrum?
Yep.
Grape fills in. It really complements heavy seasoning that you want on a rib.
You know, I've been thinking about, and I need to do some research to make sure it's okay. I got a lot of blackberries in my yard. I'm thinking some dried blackberry canes.
I'm thinking, is that poisonous?
Well, no, because I know you can use blackberry leaves for like a stomach tonic for blackberry leaf tea.
Right, but I'm talking about the stems. You know, sometimes the stem has a different chemical structure.
I don't know. I need to check into that.
The leaves, you know, sometimes. Not all the time. You have to know. But that's a good question. You know, there's, you know, imagine the ancient times you just cut a pig in half and just have all these herbs. You know, you have, like, I have a whole bush. I have a rosemary hedge. Literally, it's a hedge. That I can cook, like, when I feel like it, I can just put meat on top of a whole bed of rosemary.
Mm.
And lemon pepper and smoke it down. And I'm going to tell you, don't underestimate, don't get the cheap lemon pepper. When you get the good lemon pepper, where you have to crack it, like from Trader Joe's and Center, you can make it from scratch too, but when it's mixed up, and they have a good one, you know, it's nice rock crystal salt and seasoning. And big peppercorns, and the grinders on there, and you can reuse their grinders. You can, you know, when they're done, you can fill it up with what you want. But when, you know, there's something that grilled, you don't like chicken, but you know.
Oh, I like chicken. I'm okay with chicken.
You know, well, you know, there's different things, but you know, it, just experiment and don't be intimidated.
And you know, I do. I got to can up another dozen quarts of Kaneka.
Oh.
In that tangy ass brine.
Well, you know what? It's good. You just take about 2 inches of Kaneka, like feeding two or three people, maybe to take a half a link. Just 2 inches, cut it in half, put it in the pan, you know, with some water. Let it cook down.
No, it's what I did back at the beginning of this month with pickling it. It was totally experimental. It was so good, though. I took my Kaneka. It was the big links, not the little ones.
Right.
The big, you know, about an inch in diameter.
When I said little, I meant because I cut it little.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's the larger links, not the little, you know, dime sized, you know, diameter links, but the large ones.
Right.
And took a fork and stabbed all the links real good and put them in boiling water, and let them cook in the boiling water. A bunch of the fat leaches out.
Right.
So then you take it out and you cut it in chunks, and I put it in the jar with the hot pepper and the dill and the garlic, and put the brine to it, and then water bath canned it for a million years. Let them sit. And when I took them out, thinking, you know, this is just something good to munch on with a glass of beer or something. No.
Right.
I split the thing down the middle and grilled it. And served it on a bun with the hot slaw.
Oh,
and it was magic.
There wasn't enough, was it?
No. I saved back one jar for myself. And I've been letting it sit and sit and sit in the refrigerator.
See, that'll make you want to buy a walk-in freezer, walk-in cooler like a restaurant.
Yeah. So I need to do I need to do a dozen jars of that. And if we ever, you know, if we ever do the horn in, I'll have enough for, you know, everybody to have one.
Well, let me ask you this: do you think mustard would detract or add to it?
Well, in the way that I was serving it with the hot slaw is mustard based anyway.
Okay, that answers that.
Now, but just to sit there and put a little mustard to it, no, it's fine. It's delicious. The tangier the better.
What you said about the good mustard is true. I mean, it just don't, you know, the good.
I just can't. I just can't French's yellow mustard anymore. I just can't. There's too much good mustard out there.
Who the fuck uses that? Jesus Christ. Ugh. No. We're not doing that. That's yeah, come on. That's like using leaves for toilet paper, man. Come on.
That's two. Well, Todd, you have yourself a good evening, my friend.
You too, my friend.
It's been a great conversation. I hope you find you some of the good ribs.
Oh, they're coming. They're coming.
And if nothing else, you know, make yourself happy with a couple of slabs of that Food Lion store brand bacon. Shit is good.
I'm glad that I wasn't the only one. That's the only reason I brought it up. I was like, after a few times, I was like, wait a minute.
And I've laid me in a few bottles now of the, because I don't know if it's going to go away, that Old Bay hot sauce.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's very industrially produced. It's got a bunch of chemicals in it and so forth. And it's not going to burn anybody up. It's, you know, nobody's going to write about it over on the flaming hot pepper, you know, macho Facebook page. It's just a good utility hot sauce with that wonderful Old Bay flavor.
Yeah, that's what gets me. I can see that. It's got that little twang, that little twist. Because Old Bay is unique. There's nothing like Old Bay.
Oh, yeah.
McCormick. You know, when you drive through that tunnel near the plant, when you go through Baltimore, and sometimes you can smell it.
Oh, yeah, you get a whiff.
You get a whiff. You know, that's right. You've been up. You know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Well, look, thank you for a big conversation, and shout out to all the family, and there's so many names, and, you know, love everyone, Darlene and Tracy. And Tracy, I'm getting back to you. I had some family stuff. I got get back on, and Clarence, thanks for chiming in, and, you know, everyone, and John and PA, what's up with you, man?
John's good people. He sends me some great stuff on Twitter.
Well, we're all glad you're here, and glad you're happy, healthy, and safe.
And Jude says, peace and rest to you and Todd. Thank you, Jude. Thank you, dear.
Jude ain't a joke. Good grief.
Yeah.
Jude for president. That's what I...
You know, I remember back when Dennis Kucinich wanted to form a cabinet-level Department of Peace. Jude would have been an awesome Secretary of Peace.
See, bro, look, people. This is what you're saying. Does this sound sane to you? This is what we might need to do. She would just explain it very calmly. Oh, don't get me started with Jude, son. All right, man. I know you got to go. And look, don't forget, eat your eggs. You know, egg, cheese, and bacon and sausage is good for you. And even the veggie sausage, veggie bacon.
That may be a bridge too far.
I'm really, man, the vitamin.
Oh, but by the way, if you can get it, here's another thing. You know, it's 4th of July. Might be grilling some hot dogs, like Cynthia was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Boar's head, uncured, no nitrite, no nitrate, best hot dog I've ever eaten. All beef.
I don't. Oh, really?
Yep. And snappy.
What?
Snappy.
Oh, shit. That's the casing. I'm all about boar's head. Man, I like boar's head. Boar's head is good. No doubt about that. But you know what? You and this stuff, the stuff pork loin, man, that changed my whole look. I'm telling you know what, honestly, like, there are people that will pay a lot of money because they just don't know how to cook or don't want to cook or whatever. They want somebody to bring food by their house. And I'm thinking like,
oh man, I was up at the Wiggling Pig and they had whole pork loins on sale. Damn things were almost a yard long.
Oh, that's what I'm seeing. This is why we're talking, right? See, mind meld. Yup, that's what I'm talking about. People will pay for this shit. I brought good food to work, like with the FUPU people, you know, the millionaires. You know where I work? We got donors, man. They were like, oh. I'm like, yeah, well, it's just food. And, you know, people are willing, don't need to state, they don't want to cook. It's not like I'm doing this for a living, but I'm like, you know, I'll take a couple bucks. I like cooking. It's not a big deal.
It's fun.
You know what I mean? It's fun. Right. Everybody needs a hobby. It's just, I didn't even know. You know, I don't, you know, some people are just intimidated by cooking. It's not intimidating. You can't really mess up. It's food. Have fun with it. And when it clicks, when you start to find, it's just a few basics.
Well, we are getting on the hungry side of Shorty in L.A. Shorty said, "Come on, blackberries, rosemary. Y'all get on blackberries, rosemary. Y'all get on my envious stomach's nerves."
I'm so sorry. You know, Shorty, you should have tasted this last stuffed pork loin. I mean, this joint. Look. Everybody, nobody had any, people were like, where's the rest? That's all they kept saying. Where's the rest? Where is the rest?
Ain't no more?
Ain't no more, right. I'm like, well, look, you have to slice it thinly. I'm like, yeah, you know, and it's funny because some people don't know. It's like, they take a hunk. I'm like, well, okay.
Slice it thin.
Slice it thin, right.
Maybe put it on, and you know, take that thin slice because you got melted cheese inside it anyway, and put it, and you know, toast your brioche bun in butter on the griddle. Lay that perfectly sliced piece of pork loin with all the wonderful fillings in there.
Woo!
Take a spoon with some of the jus, drizzle the jus, slap that bun on top of it. No mustard, no mayo, no tomatoes, no lettuce, nothing. Just here, eat.
That is, that's one of the best things going. That's as good as a cheesesteak. It's better. It's really something. Honest to God. And you can have anything you want there. Just perfect white sticky rice on the side or whatever you want. Couscous, you know, some nicely steamed green beans.
Mmm.
Good ones. The Harcourt rare, you know, the good ones.
Yeah.
Oh, God. All right. Look.
Yeah, we did it again. We got people hungry now.
Yeah, and look, it's late. All right, man, I'll see you later. I mean, you know what I mean.
Yeah, take care, Todd. If I don't talk to you before, have a happy weekend.
You too.
All right, later. Our buddy Todd calling from South Carolina, Stan. But staying true to his Philly roots. Greg says, you really need to do a cookbook. Might make some good money for you. I know I'd sure buy one just from hearing you describe all the different foods you know about cooking. The thing is, there's not really recipes, man. It's just what you got and what you do with it. And I don't think I ever do the same thing twice the same way. But thank you, Greg. And Cynthia says, oh, gosh, if only I did know anyone with such dried wood. Maybe there's a barbecue shop that sells such things. Oh, well, but I love the ideas. Thanks. Hey, you never know what you're going to find. You live in civilization, Cynthia. Come on. It could happen. Oh, and the ultimate indignity. I just received my Podbean Unlimited Audio Monthly Plan receipt. Bastards. But here's the nice thing. It's finally the 1st of July, so I can get stuff back up on Podbean again. And then I'll start getting, where you been? Right here. Just remember, since this will go up on Podbean. If it's not there at Podbean, it will be at whiterosesociety.org. That's why we do this double upload. Okay? So Thank you. By the way, here's a thing for the overnight crew. There's $125 left on Bruce's Memorial Challenge. I hope we can finish that and qualify so that we've got a little, you know, we've got a one-day emergency cushion for the month. So that's where that is. And thanks for all the help we got getting over halfway into it. Thank you. And thanks to all of our subscribers, Patreon and PayPal. Thank you to our a la carte contributors so very much. Thank you to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in this little long-running conversation in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks for the emails, the tweets, the Instagram posts, everything. I love the conversation any time of day. Thank you to our all volunteer staff. Thank you to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Remember, brand new fresh Malloy on the way at 9 p.m., 6 p.m. Pacific. The best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is headon.live. And here's an interesting thing. Brother Deacon Asa pointed this out to me last night. It used to be every night Fox News was running Cucky Tucky's audio from his stupid little white supremacist program. Well, ever since it turned out that he got busted for having conversations with some sketchy folk from overseas, well, Cucky Tucky is no longer on TuneIn, or maybe that was just a mistake last night. I don't know, but he wasn't on TuneIn last night, and that kind of looks like maybe Fox News is hedging its bets against Cucky Tucky shit. You know what I mean? So there's that. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 20-plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. This would be a great time to reach out to your member of the House of Representatives. Ask them to co-sign, co-sponsor H.R. 2073, the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act, the AHEC Act. It means the world to Appalachia. Please stay safe. Like I said when we were talking earlier, I want everybody to get through this and get through it okay. Please, if you haven't already gotten your vaccine, get it. If you know somebody that isn't vaccinated, please encourage them to get theirs. I did that today, as a matter of fact. I damn near begged with someone I really care about. Use your first line defenses. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Use your hand sanitizer. Wear gloves if need be. If it's kind of a touchy situation and you got a bunch of people around you who aren't, you don't think are vaccinated, yeah. Be respectful of the Delta variant. Wear your mask if you're among people you suspect are unvaccinated. And for God's sakes, if somebody comes toward you talking about, I'm stockpiling guns because the only thing the American government understands is force, and I loved it when I seen them senators a-laying there quivering in fear on the floor. Avoid that person like the plague, because he is. Later.